Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I hang on your every word, Swanee.
That's what you say. That's what you say.
Not while I'm doing my show, but during other shows.
Well, did you know what?
I like to listen to 8-tracks during Swanee's news track.
I have cassettes of our old air checks.
Do you really?
I've got a couple, I think, somewhere. Please. Maybe even some reel-to-reels.
Please don't ever bring those in.
Now, I'm going to give you 3 guesses as to who this traffic report is sponsored by.
I don't know. Because if I say the wrong one, then...
Then we won't get paid.
Yeah.
Spot Hero.
That's what I was going to say.
Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
That's what I did.
And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, you'll like it. Partly cloudy today, but sunny later on. Highs in the low 60s, a little cooler near the lake. Fair tonight, low in the 40s. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs in the 60s once again, and a little cooler near the lake.
That may be why there's so many accidents. Maybe there's more.
Everybody's
on the road.
Excited out on the road.
Got the windows rolled down.
Yep.
Diamond in the back, sunroof top. Digging the scene with the gangster lean.
Cruising on by.
2 people understood that reference.
Yeah, you and I.
Do you know that? Do you know that song?
Which song is that?
Diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with the gangster lean. I'll find it.
You'll find it. Yeah, there's another one called Diamonds on the Windshield, but I think that's a totally song. Totally different song. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation. Here we go, whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I was so busy trying to find the song. I thought, how cool would that be if I could pull the song up that quickly?
That quickly.
Yeah.
I was just working right into that, right up to that.
Yeah, I don't have the reflexes I once did as a younger man. That was a long time ago when I was able to do that.
So we have no theme song?
No, we have a theme song, but I was trying to get the Diamond in the Back song.
Oh, that song. All right.
So go ahead and end the newscast.
All right. We'll do this once again.
We'll edit this part out when we broadcast.
And save it for their future air checks.
For our funny blooper show that we'll do.
I'm Dave Schwann.
Of things that went wrong. It's going to be our 72-hour show that we're going
to
do.
Yeah. How many hours are we going to have to go through with that? Huh? I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation when a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This one now.
Yes. Big in the scene with a gangster link against the white wall.
One Mr. William Devon. Be thankful for what you got.
That's got to be the 70s. You may not have the late 70s.
Tom, look that up. Be thankful for what you got. I'm going to guess 1973. 1974. I'm saying number 4.
Okay.
74. I'm correct? See, if there's something unimportant, if things that don't really matter, I can remember them perfectly. You got some important fact, something life or death. Don't depend on me.
That one, I think, coincided with the big hit Fly Robin Fly, the Andrea True connection.
Hang on, I'm back in my first car right now. back in my first car.
Diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with a gangster lean.
I did not have a diamond in the back. That referred to the decal in the back window.
Mm-hmm.
The diamond in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a sunroof top on my first car.
No,
although it was quite rusty. It was pretty rusty. I'm sure if I had hung on to it for a couple of more years, I would have had a sunroof.
You would have had a real sunroof.
But I did
summer,
have a gangster
winter,
lean.
Spring and fall.
I had a pretty bad gangster lean back in the day. And this was in the day before bucket seats, too.
Oh, yeah, the bench seats.
I had bench seats, but somehow I had fashioned a gangster lean.
I had them in the Plymouth Duster and the Dodge Dart.
Oh, see, look at you. Gangster lean is when you leaned over to, you know, while you were driving.
Right, arm on the wheel.
Right, not even an arm, just your palm.
Yeah.
You just palmed the steering wheel.
Or a fingertip.
Or a fingertip,
yeah.
Right. You didn't really grasp the steering wheel the way you were instructed to in driver's ed. Hands at 10 and 2. But then you leaned as far right as you possibly could.
Make yourself look cool.
And that was your gangster lean.
That was the gangster lean. You make yourself look real cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive home that way. See if I get any attention.
I don't know how cool I looked driving, though, with my gangster lean. This was my 68 Pontiac Tempest. That was my first car.
Oh, wow.
It was a cool car.
Nice car.
It was like a GTO, but a Tempest, but a Pontiac version of the GTO. So I was trying to look as cool as I possibly could. But I think much of that was defeated by the box of Kleenex I had on the dashboard. Take some of your swagger. Take some of your player swagger.
Did you have
over.
The little dog bobblehead, too, going
not,
on?
I did not have the bobblehead. I would have liked to. I don't know why I never had one of those, because everyone had those.
Everybody had those.
This is when before they were called the bob. They weren't
they
even
were,
called bobbleheads.
Right? They were not called bobbleheads.
It was just the dog that
the
sat.
The cute little doggy in the window.
In the back window, and as you drove, the head went up and down and back and forth and up and down.
To distract the person driving behind you.
That's really, that was the biggest part of it all. But I love that song.
Do you have any pictures of that car?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. That was my baby. I love that car.
68 Tempest, huh?
Why are we so attached to our, we as, I don't know if women are as fanatically attached to their first cars as much as guys are. Maybe they are.
I would imagine some women would be.
Maybe I'm being super sexist right now. I don't know. But I know that guys are, you know, probably would drop everyone else in their life if for just one more moment with their first car.
Yep. Plymouth Duster.
What year?
Probably a 71 or 72.
Fancy.
Plymouth Duster.
Fancy.
That ended up having to have a rebuilt engine.
Color?
Black.
Oh, look at you, Superfly.
Black with a little gold stripe on it.
Superfly Shawnee.
There are pictures of that, too. You
definitely should have had the gangster lane.
Bell-bottom pants, platform shoes, whole bit.
Yeah, but that's not that big of a deal because you still dress that way. For most people, it would be very nostalgic.
I've had to have the pants let out for a little bit since 1975. But, you know, you do what you have to do.
My Tempest was electric blue.
Wait a minute.
It was kind of like a metallic electric blue.
I'm trying to picture electric blue.
It was just, I don't even know how to, it's kind of like turquoise bluish.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of a lighter blue that had a special gleam in the sunlight.
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, when Andy checks in from White Sox, we'll have to ask him what his first car was.
Maybe.
If you want to prolong the conversation.
If you're not here at the beginning of the show.
Then forget it.
I know he's in transit right now. And those cars, I don't remember the front end of the Dodge. But Dodges were some pretty mean-looking vehicles.
Yeah, they were.
And this Pontiac had a front end. Those big, old, metallic, there was nothing plastic or fiberglass.
Oh, these were real bumpers.
These were real bumpers, and they looked like it could, mine looked like it could have been on the front of a locomotive. You know what I'm talking
sure.
about?
Sure. You know who else had bumpers like that were Oldsmobiles.
Yeah.
Remember how they came to a point?
Right.
And they moved on and said, get out of the way.
Yeah. Mine was, the General Motors cars were all, you know, fairly the same. But the Oldsmobiles and the Pontiacs were pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. And we got about 8 miles to the gallon
yep. of
gas with them.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Oh,
my. Ah, what memories.
I want my car.
You need to post these pictures now of the car.
I don't think I have them on my phone, but I definitely have them. You know what I did? I took all my boxes and boxes of photos and digitized them many years ago.
Did you?
And now they're all on a little hard drive size of a pack of cigarettes.
I know.
It's the greatest thing ever.
I've done that with some of mine also. I've got negatives that I've had digitized.
What's a negative, Uncle Dave?
What's a negative? It is the opposite of a positive.
Oh, my first hard drive. I think I, you know, guys, it's having fun. Oh. So is Andy at the ballpark yet?
I don't know. Andy, are you there?
Let me see here. Andy, are you at the ballpark?
1983 Chevy Citation.
See, he was listening.
It's you with the Chevy
Citation.
You are a gangster.
Bomber.
You are a gangster.
Oh, I tell you what, it had an AM radio only when I got it.
That's all mine had.
Did you get an FM converter? I put an FM converter in my first car.
Yeah, actually, I went out and splurged for the AM-FM cassette.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
But it was mounted. It was vertical.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Was it supposed to be, or that's the only way there was room for it?
Do you remember the manufacturer?
I think it was a Delco.
How about serial numbers? Do you remember serial numbers at all?
I don't. No. But if you ask me batting averages, I could probably tell you, though.
Why are we so attached? Why are guys so attached to their first cars?
It's part of your ute.
Yeah, it's a status thing, you know?
It is.
I guess so.
I was popular. I had it when I was in college, so I was able to drive people to various places. Holes and such.
And how many people could you get into the Citation?
Actually, it's funny you ask that, because I think one night we had six.
Which, that's a lot of people in a Citation.
Mere bag of shells.
Yeah.
I had about 10 people in my car one time.
Man.
Did you really?
Yeah.
We got 10 people in a guy's Volkswagen.
Pretty
once.
Sure that was fairly illegal to do that.
Yeah.
Occasionally, Uncle Dean had to bend the rules a little bit. For things. Here's a text saying women also love their first cars.
Yeah, right.
Mine was a 1986 metallic cranberry red. The text got cut off. Cranberry red CA. So I'm going to say maybe Camaro.
Well, that sounds like a nice car.
That would be cool. That would be super cool. All right. Welcome to the Nostalgia Corner.
Did you have a name for your car?
Did I?
Yeah.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't?
Did you?
No, I didn't. But, you know, some people name their cars.
Andy?
Yeah, mine was the Tan Bomber.
Cinnamon? Did you call it Cinnamon?
Cinnamon?
No. I mean, it was dull tan. It wasn't like a metallic tan. It was just dull.
Come on, Cinnamon. Let's go to White Castles.
Oh, please start, Cinnamon. Please start. Please get above 55.
And then when
miles
you were
today.
Locked out, you'd sing Cinnamon.
Let me in. That's another old song that only Strawny and I know.
Cinnamon Girl.
It's 9:20. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit of White Sox. There's a brand new book out that details it all. That's why I wanted to make sure Andy was here.
I'm here.
It's pretty much going to be your interview, Andy, when we come back.
Good.
Next on WGN. Big year for WGN Radio with the addition of the Chicago White Sox to our lineup. Andy Mazur, as a matter of fact, is over at Guaranteed Rate Field right now. Andy, you know Joe Knowles personally, I'm guessing.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe we'll grade his Chicago
welcome. My welcome, yes.
Yeah. Joe is the associate managing editor for the Chicago Tribune and has written the Chicago Tribune Book of the Chicago White Sox. Joe, welcome to WGN, my friend. Nice to have you back with us.
Thanks very much. It's good to be here.
So, first of all, what's your assessment of the season so far?
Well, I think you're seeing the growing pains that come with a young team, a lot of inconsistency. Starting pitching for the Sox has really been a problem, but I think you see some signs of what the future could become with players such as Tim Anderson, who's he's shown a lot so far, but still has his struggles. You're seeing a lot of Lucas Giolito, who great stuff, at times looks like he's unhittable, but then like last night – gets himself into a little trouble and just hasn't had the experience and the background to work his way out of it. But good times are coming down the road, maybe not this season, but eventually they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, people I talk to all over the place, Andy, I'm wondering if you get the same thing. People this year are talking about, I mean, you know, in places outside of Chicago, mm-hmm. people are talking about the White Sox this year.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, guys, is the fact that the Astros are playing here, and the Astros did this this breakdown and rebuild just like the Cubs and the Royals did. And it's really kind of weird to see the fruits of the labor of the Astros and Joe, what the White Sox are trying to become. So it's been an interesting couple of games here.
Yeah, the Astros, you can tell, are way far advanced into their rebuild. They're the after picture in the before and after. The Sox are going through the difficult part of it now, but you can see that when you have a core group of young players, you're going to suffer some hardship with them. But if you can get them all to sort of mature at the same level, you're going to have something. And if you look at the lower minor leagues of the Sox right now, down at the double A and A level, you can see they have some good young players coming up.
Joe, I have to think that this book, the Chicago Tribune book of the Chicago White Sox, is just loaded with amazing memories, probably from the Chicago Tribune archives, I would guess.
Yes, we've been following the Sox since they came into being. So we have had a great wealth of stories and images that we've stored deep beneath the bowels of Tribune Tower for a long time now. It's great to bring them out to light where people can see them. The work of our great photographers over the years, going all the way back to the 1900s when the Sox were one of the founding franchises in the American League, through the Black Sox era, the 30s and the 40s, and all the way up to the current day. Yeah. It was a lot of fun to put it together, and really makes a great keepsake for a Sox fan. If you know one, or if you are one, it's a great addition to your library.
I can imagine. I mean, I am of a certain age that I look back and remember some of those great Bill Veeck photos from White Sox history, just those crazy promotions and things that he would do, from my ute.
Well, he was an innovator. A lot of the things that you see going on at ballparks now, whether that's fireworks or the different promotions that you do to get people out to the park, Bill Veeck was way ahead of his time, and he had to do something to create interest in the team. He did a lot of things on a low budget, especially his second time around with the team in the 70s, but created a lot of excitement. And to me, as someone who grew up during that time, the 70s were one of the most exciting periods in Sox history. You had a player like Dick Allen come over and really in a short amount of time just make a great impression, really had a terrific short but terrific run with the Sox. And then the Southside Hitmen teams of the 70s with Oscar Gamble and Richie Zisk, those were a lot of fun to watch.
How about for you, Andy? What are some of your best White Sox memories?
Yeah, I'm probably more like the 77 and the 83 team, the winning uglies, and then moving over here to the new ballpark and those kind of things. But, you know, the thing I'd be curious, Joe, too, is when you're putting this book together, it's not just a history of the White Sox. You're almost getting a glimpse in the history of the game itself because of how things have changed so much, from the box scores to the way, the reporters cover games as well.
Yeah, you can. The style of writing changes very much over the years, and that's something that is impressed upon me when you look back at the older stories. Obviously, the equipment the players wore, the uniforms, all that stuff. You see the evolution of the game, and you realize that the role the White Sox played in that as the founding team in the American League. The ballparks, the original Comiskey Park was considered a palace at its time, and how that changed over the years and became, really the. I think it has a very Chicago feel to it. The old Comiskey Park to me always reminded me of some of the best parts of the city. It has a functional, little bit of a character to it, that you don't see as much in the newer park. So, yeah, you got to see a lot of the city's growth and the growth of the sport through the years. The White Sox, they've had a lot of struggles in their times. One thing that impressed me, too, was how close they came to leaving the city on different occasions, whether that was to Seattle or to Milwaukee or to Florida. But they've survived, and they managed to find their way into a new ballpark, which I think is still, while it gets criticized a lot, is still a great place to see a game. And I think the future for the White Sox, we'll have to see whether or not that ballpark has the staying power of the previous one. And something tells me that down the road they'll be coming up again on a chance to build a new one, and we'll see if that happens in the near future or farther down the road.
The Chicago Tribune book of the Chicago White Sox, available everywhere, Joe?
Yes, it's available at chicagotribune.com, on Amazon, and all finer bookstores. It's the fifth in a series of books that we've done on each of Chicago's professional sports teams. Each of them has a lot of Great stuff in it. A lot of history and terrific photography.
Sounds great. Joe Knowles, associate manager, managing editor of sports for your Chicago Tribune. Have a great day today, Joe. We appreciate it. A quick break, and then we'll update news.
I'm going to miss the showcase studio window. It's all I got to say.
And what did you see?
I can't tell you. I'm just saying I'm going to miss the view.
What does it rhyme with?
not even going to do that.
Okay.
We've seen some things out this window. You're
acting like you've seen everything now.
Well, we've seen quite a few things out here.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to be one lucky mattress store that moves into this place.
I'm telling you.
You need
to get them as a sponsor, and then we do the show from there.
All right. We've got the news first and your far-flung forecast sponsored by Cars for Kids. Here is Dave Schwann.
We are following events in Nashville, Tennessee this morning. The person of interest in shootings that killed four people early this morning in Nashville remains at large. The four were killed and several other people wounded at a Waffle House restaurant in the Antioch neighborhood in Nashville. Police are looking for 29-year-old Travis Ranking. A truck registered to him was found at the scene. Check the romaine lettuce in your refrigerator. The Illinois Department of Public Health says it's not just chopped romaine lettuce, but now full heads and hearts of romaine grown in Yuma, Arizona should be avoided after an E. coli outbreak. 53 cases have been reported in 16 states, including Illinois. No deaths, however, have been reported. The state is getting a $16 million federal grant to fight opioid abuse. The drug abuse problem claimed 2,000 people in Illinois last year. This is the second year Illinois received funding from the 21st Century Cures Act. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, visitors are enjoying life here at Guaranty Rate Field a whole lot more than the home team lately. The Sox fell to 1-7 here after a 10-1 loss to the Astros last night. Lucas Giolito scuffled, giving up a career-high 9 earned runs in his 2 innings of work. White Sox playing with teammate Danny Farquhar on their mind earlier in the day yesterday. Team learning that Farquhar suffered a brain hemorrhage after collapsing in the dugout Friday night. A ruptured aneurysm was to blame. Farquhar in stable but critical condition as of yesterday. Ronaldo Lopez will go to the mound this afternoon in the finale of this 3-game series against the Astros. I'll have your pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ, the call at 1:10 here on WGN. Yu Darvish imploded in the fifth inning in Denver yesterday, not able to hold a 2-0 lead and gave up 5 runs in that fifth inning, sending the Rockies to a 5-2 win over the Cubs. Teams finish up their series this afternoon in the Mile High City. Jose Quintana will go for the Cubs. Ben Zobrist heads to the 10-day disabled list before yesterday's game. Sean Manaea throws the first no-hitter in baseball this season as the A's beat the best team in baseball, the Red Sox, 3-0 last night. He struck out 10 and walked only 2 batters. It was Oakland's first no-no since Dallas Braden tossed a perfect game against Tampa Bay back in 2010. NHL playoffs, Tampa Bay out of the second round, beating New Jersey 3-1 yesterday. Toronto and Washington also winners. In the NBA playoffs, it was Philadelphia, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Utah all getting wins. In New Orleans' case, it was a sweep of Portland, 131-123. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
Live from White Sox Park.
You got that right. And now we go to Don't Stop Believing for Journey. Steve Perry and the gang.
You hit it and I messed it up.
It's all good.
I love that Andy's doing sports from Guaranteed Rate Park on game days.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
This is my favorite time to be at the ballpark, too, by the way. I mean, it's nothing really going on other than the grounds crew getting the field ready for batting practice. But there's something about being in an empty ballpark with nothing going on it right now, just kind of very serene and very peaceful.
You have it all to yourself almost.
I do have, I basically have the entire broadcast center here to myself.
Wow. So you could play some practical jokes on some of the fancy schmancy TV anchors, right?
Yes, I probably could, you know. I'd love to sneak into the room where the organ is and play chopsticks.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Because that's about all I know. Peter Pumpkin Eater.
Who plays organ at Guaranteed Rate Field now?
Yeah, I'm not really sure who it is. I'm going to look that up.
It's not Nancy Faust anymore.
No.
I don't think so, no.
No, it was so associated with her that we don't know who it is. But that would be great to have whoever that person is some morning.
Yeah, just serenade us.
And could serenade us from the ballpark. It would also be great if we could get Andy some whoopee cushions and put them in the TV anchor chairs.
Nice.
That would be awesome also.
I think we should do the show from the park.
Oh, that we all go?
Yeah.
We got room here in the booth. I mean, we have two booths up here.
There you go. We can do the show. See.
Look at Schwani thinking.
Let's see. Lori Moreland is the new
Lori Moreland?
Organist here.
Lori
as
Moreland?
Of 2011.
Lori Moreland, we're looking for you. Want you to tinkle the ivories. I don't want to say anything. Gary Pressey's done the same thing for us.
That's
I don't want
true.
To put any. Un-
I'm just saying.
I don't want to put any undue pressure,
no pressure
on you.
No Gary pressure.
Gary Pressey has done it many times for us. All right. What else do we have? Do we have traffic?
We have traffic now. We do. WGN traffic still looking at two accidents. One on the inbound Ryan at Canal Street, an accident blocking a couple lanes there. And also still a problem on 8094 East at Torrance Avenue, an accident blocking the right lane in the Lansing area. Other than that, we still look good on our expressways and tollways for personalized traffic on demand. Got the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago and... This traffic report also sponsored by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
That's what we're going to do when we're kicked out of this building.
Park smarter.
And we lose our parking lot in the back, which is about to become, I guess it's going to be a huge tower.
A very tall building.
Yeah, not sure, so sure how I feel. I think it's an ugly, I don't have a problem with them putting a building up. I just think it's ugly.
It looks like Soldier Field.
It looks like a spaceship landed amongst these beautiful, architecturally significant buildings. It does look like the comparison to Soldier Field is a good one. So I don't know how I feel about that, but we're going to lose our parking lot.
It won't be long.
Because I was planning, even after we moved, I still planned
on
parking.
You were going to park here? And then walk over?
Yeah. Is that wrong?
Let me know if it works. I like to do the same thing.
I'm going to be the guy that chains myself to a light pole out there when the wrecking ball shows up.
I'm not leaving.
We go live now to Tribune Tower parking lot.
And Dean Richards.
I've been out here for 435 days.
Day and night. And let's see. Oh, yes, for traffic.
Weather?
Yes.
Oh, no, you have the... Yeah,
we now have the weather forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. And a fine one it is. Sunny later on today, highs in the low 60s, cooler near the lake, fair overnight, low in the low 40s, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs once again in the 60s and a bit cooler lakeside.
It's been the longest newscast.
It is now 49 at O'Hare, 50 at Midway. Lakefront has 47, and we're not done yet because
you would quit
go,
interrupting me.
Yeah, it's always my fault, isn't it? Always my fault. And we now go to, for our far-flung forecast north by northwest, to Clear Lake, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Clear Lake, Wisconsin, in the northwestern part of the state.
I think I know where this is.
You do.
For the first time in 47 years, I finally
know
one city that you've mentioned.
That I've mentioned.
Wow.
It's in, as we say, the northwest portion of Wisconsin. Population is 1,070.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
All right. All right, Mr. Know-It-All. The village has a total of 3.02 square miles.
That's right. That's what I remember.
Of which 2.94 square miles is land, and 0.08 square miles of it is water, hence the name Clear Lake.
Ah, okay.
But we bring up Clear Lake today
because
Clear Lake is the home of a gentleman by the name of Gaylord Nelson, who became Senator Gaylord Nelson, U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson.
And went on to star in I Dream of Jeannie?
Not only that.
That's Major Nelson, isn't it?
That's Major Nelson.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, Master. And
what? That felt creepy.
Gaylord Nelson is the person who gave us Earth Day. The senator who initiated Earth Day in the United States, the first one in April of 1970.
Oh, very nice.
Gaylord Nelson. And Earth Day, of course, is today,
yep.
48 years later. And Clear Lake is having a nice day, sunny skies and 40 degrees.
That's nice. What are you doing for Earth Day today?
I recycle everything. So I participate in Earth Day every day.
Andy?
I did not print up any of the sports scripts from the studio to bring over here.
You're saving trees.
I'm saving trees, one tree at a time.
And as anyone knows, listening to the show, I pretty much recycle the same jokes every week. So,
mean it to say, I tell you.
Doing my part, taking my thumbprint off of the joke world for Earth Day today. Hey, you know what? Speaking on the text line today, I'm taking some heat.
Uh-oh.
Because I have...
What else is new?
A couple of times today, I've said that I didn't think that women cared about their first cars as much as guys did.
Mm-hmm.
And I also said I didn't think that women liked the movie Caddyshack as much as guys did. And a couple of texts have said, what's with the Woman Haters Club today? one said that exactly.
What's with the Woman Haters Club
yeah.
today?
And I don't mean it as a, like a, I mean it as a compliment that women are not as dopey as guys, that, you know, to care about, you know, ridiculous things. But the text line is flooded with people remembering their first cars. That's what we were talking about, number one. And number two, women... texting in saying that they loved their first cars just as much as any guy did.
How about that?
Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah, so I certainly didn't mean it as any insult. If anything, quite the opposite. I want to share some of these. Wow, have we tapped into a nerve with this first car thing here? We'll get to that coming up next. .52 Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Remember that when a car could seat 20 people comfortably? When you would drive to the Love Shack? We're just talking about first cars this morning. I don't even know how we got on the subject, but oh man, has it taken over the text line? People remembering their very first cars. And a lot of women texting in this morning, saying how much they love their cars, and they love their movie Caddyshack. Both things that I foolishly said I didn't think women liked as much as men did. Meant it as a compliment. You're not as dopey as we are. Apparently, you are as dopey as we are. Here is, let's see, I paid $1,600 for my first car in 1967. It was a 64 white T-Bird. Holy smokes. A 64 white T-Bird. Fell in love with cars when my dad bought a brand new 57 turquoise Chevy. That sounds great. And also a PS here. Oh, by the way, I love Caddyshack. I get it. Dean, my 312-981-7200, by the way. First cars. And here's another thing I'm noticing on the text line. Everybody named their car. Everybody named their car on our text line. So give me a call with that. The names of your car. Tell me the names of your cars and what your first car was. 312-981-7200. Dean, my first car was a baby blue Triumph Spitfire.
Ooh.
Holy smokes. It was my 16th birthday gift from my parents. My dad found it behind a gas station with weeds growing out of it. Holy smokes. What a cool first car that was. You know, kids are kids as enthusiastic about their first cars today as we were back in the day?
You know, I don't think they are. I have a good friend of mine who's got a 16-year-old who just got his license, and they were talking to him about getting a car, and he really didn't want one because, you know, there's so many things available to kids nowadays with Uber and all that stuff. Some of them don't even get their licenses on their birthday. They wait. I went right on my birthday.
Yeah, oh, I did too. The day that I got my driver's license was the day that I got my first car. I could not wait also.
Yeah.
But, you know, our kids today, you know, 20 years from now, they're going, oh, yeah, I got a 2017 Prius. It mm-hmm. was awesome. That's not gonna cut it the way that the Triumph or the T-Bird we just heard about. Here's another one. My first car was a 1974 Pontiac Le Mans. Oh, that was a cool car. Huge front end, same as mine, same as the Tempest. That was the one that was one grade up from the Tempest. Huge front end, and everybody wanted to race. The front seat was worn away. The springs were out, so I had to cover it with a latch hook rug so I wouldn't, my legs wouldn't fall through the floor. These are awesome stories. 312-981-7200. Annette calling up just to prove Uncle Dean wrong again about the affection for first cars. Hi, Annette. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Dean. yes, absolutely. I love my 72 Dodge Monaco. I cried the day I sold her.
Aww.
Wish I had it. But she was another in the line of Betsy's because my grandmother always named her cars Betsy.
Oh.
And she was as big as a whale, as my younger sister would remind me of the B-52 song every time we drove in it. And it had that lovely black vinyl interior.
Oh, yeah, that was comfortable in the summer, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was. But it had a 400 engine, and I could race anybody at a stoplight.
Look at you. Look at you, Annette. Leadfoot.
Yeah.
Well, here's the perfect gift for you, then, for calling in. I'm going to send you a family pack of general admission tickets to Sycamore Speedway. 2018 race season starts next Saturday, April 28th. See SycamoreSpeedway.com. But we're going to set you up with the family pack so you and the family can go out there. Is that okay?
Oh, that'd be wonderful. And it's not that far. I'm in Belvedere. So
perfect.
That's wonderful. Oh,
all right.
Thank you so much.
Hands at 10 and 2, Annette. Observe all speed limits, please.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah. So do I. I know exactly what you mean. Dave, you're on WGN. What was your first car?
Well, my uncle had a Ford dealership in Monmouth, Illinois. And I bought a brand new 1956 Ford convertible, stick shift, with a V8 in it. Wow. How much you think I paid out the door?
What year was it?
56.
That was in 1956, and it was a 1956 car?
Right.
Oh, I'm going to guess maybe a couple of grand.
$3,200.
That's brand amazing.
New.
And it was a 56. What type of Ford was it?
Convertible.
Okay, but I mean, like, what? I don't even know in 56 what Fords were offering back then.
They only had the convertible.
Oh, they only had the one convertible. Was it like a Mustang? Was it similar to an old Mustang?
I could have bought a Thunderbird, but I couldn't afford it because a Thunderbird with the T-top, you know, that you pulled off.
Oh, yeah, right.
Was $4,000.
Yeah.
It was $800 more.
That was a lot of money, man. That was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. It was quite a car.
These cars are awesome that people are texting in. My first car was a 69 Barracuda that I bought for $800. First car was, wait a minute, look at this. My first car was a 1959 Jaguar MK, like the one Inspector Morris drove in the series.
Yeah.
I did not name it. Did you name your car?
No, I didn't name it.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, I wasn't a namer either, but apparently a lot of people were. Appreciate the call, Gary.
Okay.
Have a great day today. Thank you very much. Coming up, we'll take you inside the new musical headed to Chicago called Heartbreak Hotel, a prequel to Million Dollar Quartet, plus my one-on-one conversation this past week with Bill Murray, all on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you've got a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News is next. Here's Dave Schwann.
Partly cloudy skies and 52 at O'Hare. A gunman with an assault-type rifle opened fire at a Waffle House restaurant in Nashville early this morning, killing four people, injuring several others. A patron managed to wrestle the gun away. Then the gunman ran away. More from ABC's Ariel Reshef.
Nashville police are confirming that shooter was wielding an assault-type rifle when he opened fire around 3:30 this morning. Police identifying Travis Reinking as a person of interest. He's 29 years old and from Morton, Illinois. They say he drove to the Waffle House in a vehicle registered to him.
The shooting occurred in the Antioch section of Nashville. They are still looking for the gunman. Chicago is not the only city that is fighting so-called bad marijuana. More from WGN's Roger Badish.
Milwaukee health officials have issued an alert after two people were hospitalized after using synthetic marijuana containing a lethal ingredient often used in rat poison. Since Thursday, there had been two confirmed cases and one probable case of an illness that can cause severe bleeding, unexplained bruising, and possible death. Roger Badish, WGN News.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in meets with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on this coming Friday, kicking off a new round of nuclear diplomacy. This could set up more substantial discussions between Kim and President Trump, who said he plans to meet Kim in May or June. However, while Seoul and Washington welcomed Pyongyang's declaration this weekend to suspend ballistic missile testing and shut down its nuclear test site, the road to denuclearization has good potential problems, so we will see as time moves on. Non-tenured faculty and graduate students in Illinois are looking to unions as pay and benefits are put on hold by the state budget stalemate. Among the institutions, the University of Chicago, Loyola, U of I, Northwestern, and Columbia College have seen an increase in union activity. There's a 5K run walk being held today at Morton West High School in Berwyn. This is for raising money for scholarships for children of undocumented immigrants who are ineligible for federal financial aid. This is Morton College's annual Hope Scholarship 5K walk and run. And now, WGN Community Corners, sponsored by WOW, Internet, TV, and Phone. Here's Ryan Burrow.
The historic Oakwood Cemetery on Chicago's south side contains the remains of Chicago legends, including former Mayor Harold Washington, Olympian Jesse Owens, journalist Ida B. Wells, and physicist Enrico Fermi. But it also contains the bodies of thousands of Civil War Confederate soldiers. There's a 46-foot memorial to those soldiers. Groups like Black Youth Project 100 want the monument replaced with a memorial to Ida B. Wells. This weekend, they'll hold a rally at the cemetery. I'm Ryan Burrow with Community Corners on WGN Radio.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, kind of a down day at Guaranteed Rate Field yesterday. The White Sox lose for the sixth straight time, this time a 10-1 defeat to the Astros. Lucas Giolito struggling, pitching only into the third inning, giving up a career-worst 9 earned runs. Manager Rick Renteria will have to try to figure out what's happening with the pitching prospect, but according to the skipper, it's not a matter of ability.
You know, he's got the stuff to go ahead and you know, be able to manage ball games and keep us there and give us opportunities. We know that even earlier in the season, when he didn't have his best stuff or his best command, he was grinding, but he was eating up some innings and, you know, and getting some key outs in certain situations and minimizing damage. Today, you know, against a pretty good hitting ball club, they took advantage of him a little bit, and, you know, it's something that he'll learn from, and we'll continue to try to get better with it.
Sox now off to a 1-7 start at home, equaling the beginning of the 1971 season here on the south side. Compounding the issue yesterday was the knowledge of what happened to reliever Danny Farquhar after he collapsed in the dugout Friday night. Team announcing yesterday he suffered a brain hemorrhage while collapsing. And as Saturday, he was in stable but critical condition. Reynaldo Lopez will go for the White Sox this afternoon in the finale of our three-game series. Pre-game, I'll have that for you at 12:35. Ed and DJ the call at 1:10 here on WGN. Well, it started off well and good for the Cubs, but it did not end that way in Denver yesterday. Cubs opening up a 2-0 lead behind a cruising Yu Darvish. That is until the fifth. The Rockies scored five en route to a 5-2 win over the Cubs. Same two teams, rubber match of their three-game series this afternoon at Coors Field. Jose Quintana will start for the Cubs. And the Yankees have called up former Cubs prospect Gleyber Torres to make his Major League Baseball debut. Torres was dealt to the Yankees in exchange for Aroldis Chapman at the trade deadline of the 2016 season. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic. An accident now on Roosevelt Road east of Mannheim at Kildare Avenue. This is an accident with injuries. Once again, Roosevelt Road and Kildare east of Mannheim, an accident with injuries there. We're still looking at problems. Eastbound on 8094 at Torrance Avenue, an accident is blocking the right lane. And in the Chinatown area on the Dan Ryan, inbound at Canal, an accident blocking traffic there. Advice is to keep right of that accident as things are moving over into the left-hand lanes.
All right, enough with the car accidents.
Yeah,
today.
Quite a few today.
I know we're right. Hilariously funny on this show, but really, you have to concentrate. Trade on your driving.
We are. Yes, that's true. Seriously. And you're right. We've had a number of things this morning.
Yeah.
A bad one on I-57
right.
Inbound at Volmer Road this morning. In fact, most, if not the entire expressway was blocked there, and they were diverting traffic off to the U.S. 30 area. So,
right.
And now travel times.
All I can suggest to people is if you find us that interesting and hilarious,
pull over and listen.
Pull over and laugh your head off.
We're looking at travel times building. Oh, my goodness. All right. Any more woman haters texts coming in there?
Oh, yeah, tons. We're only on till 1 o'clock.
Oh, just wait. No, 12:30 today.
No, people are understanding what I meant.
I would hope. On the outbound,
You just want me to play that Three Stooges woman haters clip, don't you?
Yes.
That's what you're
talking about. I do. In fact, I was looking for it, and I didn't have time to find it.
Yeah, I know you are.
We'll get to it between now and 12:30.
Well, okay.
Traffic is building on the Eisenhower now. It is 25 minutes from downtown out to Wolf Road. Also on the outbound, Ike, a 35-minute trip from downtown to Veterans Tollway. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. A sunny afternoon today, high in the low 60s, cooler near the lake. Fair overnight tonight, low in the low 40s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs in the 60s, a little cooler near the lake. Gee, sounds like spring. 52 now at O'Hare.
Thanks for jinxing it.
Yeah, probably did.
Great.
52 at O'Hare. 54.
I have one more snowstorm because of you now.
Everything's my fault.
Puxatawny Shawnee.
54 at Midway, 49 along the lake. All right, I'm going home. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom. I was ready to join this conversation, but we are indeed on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Song probably at the highest points for now, unbelievably, the late EDM performer Avicii. This was his biggest hit, although he's had many and has performed with so many artists over the years.
They don't like us.
Avicii was found dead, only 28 years old. No cause of death has been officially announced. Officials, he died in Oman, in the country of Oman, where he was performing. And officials there said that they have done two autopsies on him. And there is no criminal suspicion revolving his death. People who were close to him, sources close to him, saying that he lived life pretty hard. He himself had talked about suffering with acute pancreatitis through over... indulging in alcohol, and anyone who knew him say that he lived life to the hardest, I guess you might say. So very sad to report that news, Schwani. Very sad also to report the news of the death of actor Vern Troyer. We've had him on the show a couple of times here in studio with us, the actor from the Austin Powers movies.
I loved him in those Austin Powers.
Mini-Me. From the series. Very, very nice man, very accommodating. Someplace in our archives, we have interviews with him. But sad to report that news of his death. Mike Myers, who played Austin Powers, talked about that he is a better person for having known Vern Troyer. We had him on the TV morning show a couple of times, and also was very nice there. And I don't know if you heard the news about singer Roberta Flack, Killing Me Softly with her song, First Time Ever I Saw Her Face, Saw Your Face, number of hit songs. She was rushed to the hospital she was doing a benefit at the famed Apollo Theater in New York, and she was rushed to the hospital and was released after observation. She was released, so she is doing okay, but wow, some pretty sad news. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, meteorologist Mike Hammernick will join us. We will update our weather forecast, and Yeah, I think that's pretty much it brings you up to date with everything right now. Quick break, and then we're back. WGN. So the past couple of days.
Who the hell are you guys?
I was in Los Angeles interviewing the cast of Avengers. Avengers Infinity War. In fact, yesterday at this very time, I was sitting in front of James Brolin, or Josh Brolin himself. Josh Brolin, who is the new bad guy in this adventure, like the bad guy of all bad guys. And he was hilarious in the interview. That's all I'll say about that, because I'm going to start playing back the interviews for you tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News. And we'll play some clips back also when I visit with Steve Cochran, as I do every Monday through Friday, right around 8:10, 8:15-ish. In the morning, somebody had texted in, said, Dean, we missed you on Steve's show the last couple of days. What's up with that? We look forward to the segment. Where were you? Are you coming back? Someone was very, very concerned about my whereabouts. And, yeah, I've been in California. I was in the Los Angeles area. And we interviewed Chris Pratt, and we interviewed, just go down the list. This is an amazing cast of Avengers Infinity War, which opens next Friday. I will review it also. But tomorrow morning we'll have some highlights on Steve's show. Tomorrow morning we'll have some highlights on the WGN-TV Morning News as well. WGN meteorologist Mike Hammernick. Are you a fan of any of the comic book movies, Mike?
You know, yeah. Well, Batman was always one of my favorites. Yeah. But that was, yeah, that's about the extent of Iron Man, too. Wasn't that a...
Iron Man is, yeah. Iron Man is one of the Avengers. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's part of the cast. But you think about this. I mean, I love Batman. I love Superman. I think when I was growing up, I was more of a DC Comics.
Okay.
You know, and that's Batman and Superman. But, you know, people love the Avengers, and people love the Marvel comic heroes like Iron Man, Spider-Man, you know, go down the list, Captain America. They're all in this movie. This may be one of the biggest star-filled casts ever of, you know, a major comic book superhero type movie. So we'll be talking
Very
about
cool.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that a lot more during the week. One of the other things that we're going to be talking about a lot during this week is how much improved the weather will be compared to last week in particular.
Yeah, light years better than last weekend at this time, Dean. We were sitting in 30-degree temperatures, rain. The waves on Lake Michigan were 10 to 15 feet. Boy, what a difference a week makes. Things are much calmer out there. We're already pushing almost 60 degrees at this hour in a few of the southwest suburbs. It's 58 in Naperville, 59 in Homewood. Some of the southwest, south and southwest suburbs may make it up into the upper 60s today, expecting lower 60s at the airports and right along the lake downtown, mid-50s to upper 40s. So we will see some lake cooling. But, yeah, well, you've really turned the table. You know, I was looking back. I can now realize why people have been so miserable. You know, the first five weekend days here in Chicago, we failed to crack the 40-degree mark. We were in the 30s for high temperatures the first five Saturdays and Sundays of the month. Yesterday, we made it up into the 50s, cracking that 40-degree mark for the first time. And today, looks like 60s for most of the area. So we have definitely turned a corner here in Chicago. Now, we just got to keep a storm system to our south away. And as long as we do that, I think we're in pretty good shape for the rest of the day today. And I think it will stay to our south. We'll see some of the clouds. We had clouds out there for much of the morning, but they're starting to thin out as a storm spins to our south. And I think we're in pretty good shape for the rest of the day today. And our next rain chance won't roll our way until sometime on Monday night.
What a 1,000% difference it makes in your disposition when it's pleasant outside. It was nice and sunny this morning when I was driving in. You could see the, you know, the sun rising over the lake.
Right.
That was so gorgeous, just so absolutely beautiful today.
And, walk out the door and not freeze your butt off. You know?
And there's that also, the non-freezing your butt off portion of the equation as well.
We didn't drop below 40 degrees last night, and we didn't make it above 40 all of last weekend. So we're moving in the right direction. We had this massive mound of Arctic air over Canada for the first 2 weeks of April. That's gone, so there's really no cold air, or really cold air, to drop south into Chicago anymore. It's back up in the North Pole where it should be for this time of the year. And looking way ahead for the first week of May. We're starting to get an inkling of what that may look like. We don't have any 70s or 80s in the forecast for the rest of April, but the first week of May, there may be a surge or two of warm air that could push temps into the 70s, maybe an 80-degree day marked in there. So we could look forward to that for that first week of May. It looks like it'll be much better than the first week of April was. And for much of this week, we're looking at 50s and 60s for highs with the typical cooler near the lake scenario with no big storms for us here in Chicago.
That's the kind of weather forecast we'd like to hear.
It's about time. I'm out of the doghouse for at least this week.
At least for the next hour. Until something shifts that can't be predicted.
But nice day. It's sunshine. I think we'll be on the increase in 60s for most of us.
Yeah. So earlier this morning, we've been talking about our first cars.
Yeah.
And our obsession, you know, with the first cars that you ever get, which is completely verified on our text line this morning, which has been dominated by people sending me notes this morning about their first cars and some really cool ones, like amazingly cool cars that people had from back in the day. And what was yours?
Mine was a 72 Ford Mustang. It was not the real cool Mustang. It was like a year later than that. But boy, it was a
Mustang though.
Yeah, it was a red Mustang.
Red Mustang.
It didn't last very long. I didn't pay very much for it, and I think it lasted maybe a year. But that was my first car.
People, texting in. Say my first car was a 1973 Plymouth Duster. With faux snakeskin roof. I remember that. One of my cars that I had it wasn't snakeskin, but it was like that half vinyl roof. I think was it called the Landau roof? Roof.
Yeah, okay.
It was like half vinyl. That
right.
That was
I
popular.
I remember those. You're bringing back memories.
The 70s. here, my first car was a 1970 VW convertible. So many people's first cars were convertibles. Boy, We were not in that price range at all.
They were popular for a while, and then they got rid of them. It didn't completely convertibles. They went away because of safety issues, and then they started coming back.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the early convertibles were not what you would call terribly weatherproof.
Right.
So, you know, if you lived in California, it was probably great, but
not for the Midwest.
Not for the winter
time. They're made much more efficiently and better now to handle the weather.
My first car was a 1990 red Nissan Sentra. I named her Pebbles because it had zero add-ons. It reminded me of the Flintstones car.
How about you, Dean? What was your first
Mine
car?
Was a 1968 Pontiac Tempest.
Ah, oh, okay. That was, my dad had a Pontiac Tempest.
Is that right?
I think it was a 68.
It was a cool car.
Yeah.
It definitely was a cool car.
Yeah, it's dark blue. Yeah.
Mine was also blue. Wasn't the first car that I drove, though. That was the first one that was my car. But my mom had a 1968 Rambler that was the ugliest car ever. But that's the car that I went, you know, you learned to drive in. Yeah. And so, you know, when you could drive by yourself or when you had a permit, it was this hideous, ugly square car that I didn't mind because I had wheels.
Right. That's all that matters. It's when you're first learning to drive. Absolutely.
May be my favorite text.
That's a good story to tell, right?
My favorite text of the morning from the 708 area code. My first car was a 1973 Vega GT. What a piece of crap.
Vegas were in that kind of Pinto category.
We had a lot of texts about Vegas this
Any
morning.
Pintos? Any people with Pintos? Or they just don't admit it?
No, we had a couple.
Oh,
yeah, somebody actually sent me a picture of their Pinto.
Okay.
I forget what year. It's way back in the text line here. My first car was a 64 Malibu with a coat hanger in the back where the antenna was supposed to be. That was so very typical. So if we had all of these cars, we certainly would be cruising around in this beautiful weather that we're having today.
We would. It's a ragtop day.
Yeah, definitely a ragtop day. Wow, phrase from the past.
Yeah, speaking of past,
Mike Kamernick, thank you the forecast. Thank you for the update and the memories.
Thank you.
That you remember this.
Since my baby left me, will I find a new place to dwell? Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street, that
10:38, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Elvis's first big hit song, 1956, is when this one came out.
Was this before Hound Dog?
This was before Hound Dog. Okay. Heartbreak Hotel was his first hit song. Had relative success following this one. But it is also the name of a new show that's going to be opening here in Chicago that is being called the prequel to the enormously successful Million Dollar Quartet that I don't even know how many years that played here in Chicago. So I do know how many years that was. It was actually 7 years. I'm getting the finger gestures from our next guest. And I don't mean that finger gesture. Completely different one from Floyd Mutrix, who is the writer and director of Heartbreak Hotel. I do know this, Floyd. I may not have remembered the number of years that Million Dollar Quartet was here in Chicago, and it was here in Chicago, if I'm remembering correctly, before it went to New York. We had every single incarnation of the Million Dollar Quartet in this studio performing for us when they would bring in, when it would be new band or new band members, stop by Dean's show on Sunday morning, and they would set up. This room was just filled with band equipment and keyboards and guitars and singers. And we always had a great time. So we have quite the affection for Million Dollar Quartet. Welcome. Nice to have you here with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
During the break, Floyd was telling me about his first time here in Chicago, back in the Hyde Park neighborhood.
62.
19. He's still holding up finger gestures. We can talk now. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I had, I said I was a, wannabe beatnik, and I came up here and got a room in Hyde Park with a jazz drummer. And I wandered up to the north side after a couple of weeks. I was entrenched in Hyde Park. I thought it was the greatest thing since
cheese. Yeah. Yeah, it was the offbeat capital of Chicago, for sure.
I'd never seen anything like it. It was like, wow. It was
crazy university students there.
Just artists and people on the street and hipsters and hep cats and just whatever.
Yeah.
And but I went up to the north side. Well, not the north side. I went up to Lincoln Park area, and I saw another beatnik that I knew from New York. He ran a place called the Fat Black Pussycat, and I said, "Hey man, what are you doing here?" He said, "I'm working at this club." I said, "Wow, can I audition? Can I get a?" And I did, and I got a job that day. And that club was called Second City.
How about that?
Hey,
how about that? Who is
luck of the?
Who was there back then? Because
the Paul Sand, Barbara Harris, Alan Arkin, Zora Lampert, Joan Rivers, and it was like they kind of adopted me.
They were all kind of beatniks from the University of Chicago,
yeah,
too.
Alan was...
it started off as the Compass Players, if I remember right.
Yeah, they came out of the Compass, which was in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
And it started there, actually. Yeah. Paul Sills started it.
Right.
And he was a waiter there. And then Alan kind of took me under his wing. He was a guitar player. Alan Arkin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't know he was a folk singer in a group called the Terriers.
I didn't know that.
And he wrote a song called Daylight Come and I Want to Go Home.
No,
and Harry Belafonte recorded it.
No way. I did not know that Alan Arkin co-wrote that song.
He and Eric Weisberg, who also did, they did Deliverance.
Wow.
They were all talented. Paul Sand was had been traveling with Marcel Marceau. Barbara Harris was just a knockout.
Yeah.
Zora Lampert was a knockout. Joan Rivers was a comedian. Joan Rivers used to do my homework. I still had some schoolwork left to do. Joan Rivers did my homework and cooked me dinner.
How about that?
On Mondays.
What an environment! What an environment to be in. So, what takes you from that Second City and that comedy creative environment into what you're doing now, into theatrical producing?
Yeah, I will say to you, I want to expand on what you said about that comedy creative environment. I just want to say there was a number of very poignant, short skits that touched your heart and were extremely relative to the culture of that country,
right.
And it was not just blackouts and comedy. It was a show, and the show was a complete package. And I probably learned more about writing from being in that group every night and in New York for a number of years than I ever did at Columbia University.
Mm.
In fact, the first thing I wrote at Columbia, the teacher said, you probably should think about another profession. So, you know, it's like...
Where's that teacher now? There's the big question.
I don't know.
So talk to me about Heartbreak Hotel. We love Million Dollar Quartet here in Chicago.
Okay, well...
It was such a fun show that recalled this one meeting between four of the greats of all time, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and a young man by the name of Elvis. Who am I leaving out? Am I leaving anybody out?
Yeah. I went to Hollywood after New York, and I had a whole career in the movie business for 30 years.
Right.
Untouchables, Up in Smoke, Dick Tracy, blah, blah, blah. There was a point where they were making movies. They wanted to make movies that I didn't know how to write anymore. They were about superheroes, and I stepped back, and Scott Rudin, you know who he is, Book of Mormon, and Mark Platt, who did Wicked, they lived in my neighborhood. And they both said to me, I had done a picture called American Hot Wax. It was about a disc jockey named Alan Freed, who coined the words rock and roll. And they said, why don't you do that as a Broadway show? And I thought about it, and I went home, and I wrote a series of plays about the people that changed the culture of our country. And I called it American Pop Anthology. The first play I wrote was Heartbreak Hotel. Heartbreak Hotel was too long. It was 3 hours. So I cut it in half, and I did the second half first.
Right.
That was Million Dollar Quartet.
That was Million Dollar Quartet. So now this Heartbreak Hotel, we're going to get the first half of,
you're gonna get
of that the whole thing.
Yeah. The MDQ was a story about four guys who came home one last time, realized who they once were and who they'd never be again, and then they rocked the house one last time. That was Million Dollar Quartet. Heartbreak Hotel is the story of an 18-year-old truck driver who had the biggest song of the year, the largest record contract of all time, and was on the most watched TV show in our lives, and could not walk.
Was that the Ed Sullivan show? Yeah. Waste up only.
That's exactly right. And could not walk alone in New York City in 18 months without the internet. And he retreated behind the gates of Graceland, where his beloved mother Gladys passed. And he never came out again for 10 years. He went to Hollywood, and he never went out on the road again. There was a Jack Benny show 10 years later, where they wanted him to do Santa Claus or some kind of stuff. And he said, I'm not going to do it. He got Scotty and Bill and the original Blue Moon Boys. He sat on a bench, and he sang the songs from his early career.
Mm.
And the newspapers exploded. The King has returned. And that's where we start our show.
Okay.
We started in 67. He steps out and says, but this started a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was July of 54. And Heartbreak Hotel becomes a memory play. He looks back and tells you about that journey.
So we get a little bit of the very early Elvis,
it's 90% early.
Oh, it's 90%.
90% is those 18 months. Yeah. It's just him looking back.
He's reminiscing, and so musically you go back to the very beginnings of when this truck driver was.
Yeah, there was a club here.
I would argue that was Elvis's best era, prime era. That anybody, you take any rock and roll person alive at this moment, doesn't matter their age, they will acknowledge that Elvis was truly the king of rock and roll in that era, before he became this big persona. Yeah.
I always say he took the black man's music and put it on a white station. And I always say that that transition where he reflected on the people that made the music that changed the culture of our country changed the world forever. B.B. King said there was this nasty little lady named Rhythm and Blues, and she met this sexy guy called Rockabilly. They got together and had a baby, and they named that baby Rock and Roll.
That's right. Heartbreak Hotel is going to be at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower starting June 30th. It'll run there pretty much all summer through September the 9th. Floyd Mutrix is here with us this morning, the writer and director, and we'll talk with him more when we come back.
Work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
So since you brought it up, I had to play a little bit of it here. In tribute to Alan Arkin. I never knew he co-wrote this song. I figured it had to be some calypso writer or something. Who knew it was a Jewish guy from New York?
No, they were in a group called the Terriers. It was one of the early folk groups. And, you know, they were pretty well known. They were from St. Louis. And then later, I wrote Freebie and the Bean for Alan and Jimmy.
Wow. How about
remember?
That?
Of course. Back before you were born.
What a career. I wish that were the case. But what a career and what, varied types of projects that you've been involved in. From the Untouchables to, I remember when you guys were shooting Up in Smoke. It was like one of the...
No one can remember when we were shooting. There was too much smoke in the room.
I think if you were too involved in the process, maybe that were the case. But from a distance, you certainly could. And Mulholland Falls and Hillside Strangler. I mean, just the range and the variety of
The movie
types
I
of
like
projects.
The most is American Hot Wax.
Hmm.
It's the story of a disc jockey named Alan Freed who took the fall for rock and roll.
Right.
And a lot of... You know, every time I meet somebody, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Rod Stewart or whatever, the first thing they say is, "Oh, that's my favorite movie. I still run that." It's probably the reason I started to do this anthology series about rock and roll.
Yeah,
so it's because of that movie.
So we're gonna have Heartbreak Hotel, the prequel to Million Dollar Quartet, at the Broadway Playhouse, June 30th through September 9th. Is there going to be a sequel also coming out, a part three at some point?
There is a sequel. There's a third part of the trilogy called Blue Suede Shoes. It's each of them lined up on a place above heaven and hell. They look back on their lives, and they stand in a line, and they each tell the story. Cash, Presley, they each tell the story of all the girls they loved before and their lives. It's Chorus Line for rock and roll.
Yeah.
And it's called Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, it's kind of generational. You know, really, I was reading an article, I think it was the LA Times, that's where I've been the past couple of days, that talked about, what's being called jukebox musicals. These shows that come along that you take the library of a particular artist and weave it into a storyline. This article that I was reading saying that it was ruining American theater. I think it's what's kept American theater alive.
Yeah.
And if it's done right, I mean, some are better than others. If it's done right, it's bringing people into the theater.
Those are critics that unfortunately aren't available for the change of the culture and the coming of our times. When I sat down to do this, I was out in Montana on Montana Street, and I saw Steven Spielberg. Hadn't seen him in a while. I wrote his first movie. We sat and talked. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing Heartbreak Hotel." And he said, "Do you think it'll work?" I said, "Well, if you're walking down 45th Street and you've got leisure money and time and you're 50 years old, on one side of the street is King and I, the other is Mamma Mia. Are you going to go revisit somebody else's memories?" And he finished it. "No, you're going to go revisit yours."
Right.
And this is a story and a part of the culture whose time has come. It has nothing to do with jukebox musicals. It's such an aberrated concept. These are stories about the people that made the music, that changed the culture of our country and all of our lives. Why shouldn't that be a story?
Yeah, why should? I mean, it's fine to have, you know, the Dear Evan Hansens of the world and the Hamiltons and serious dramas. There's, you know, turns out there's room for everything out there.
Why shouldn't we do? I mean, you know, I don't want to go see, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, Guys and Dolls. Or, I mean, in fact, I like Guys and Dolls. But, you know,
Andrew Lloyd Webber, there's room for everything. Out on the stage, and this music, there is part of Mamma Mia is pure nostalgia, is pure the fans of 70s pop music, but the vast majority of the part of Mamma Mia is the telling of this story of
There's two American art forms as far as I know music. One's jazz and the other's rock and roll, and there is much a part of our culture as. Hey, rock and roll was actually an AM car radio was the literature of my youth. How about that?
There you go.
How about that? That's just the truth.
I think I've often said, as a former DJ, that I was proud to participate in the soundtrack of people's youth. The music that I was playing on the radios, you know, they were listening to whatever they were doing and forming memories in their own lives. It was the music that I was playing and other DJs were playing on the radio at the time. Soundtrack of their life.
I'll tell you something that happened in Heartbreak Hotel. We just came from Algonquin, Maine. It's a beautiful little, it's a fabulous place. It's a playhouse there. If you ever get a chance, go there. It's a bucket list place.
Okay.
The little playhouse in the middle of nowhere, we did. It seated 500 people. We ran 5 weeks, 8 shows a week. There were single tickets only. They came from Mars. I mean, the place was
about
packed.
That.
What happened in the theater was, at the end of the show, Elvis is lost in his own desires, and he's singing a song called Dixieland. I wish I was in the land of Dixie.
Right.
And on the rear screen projections, this is a biography. There were documentary footage. There was cotton fields. There was plantations. There was Rosa Parks. There was, as he was singing, in 1956, the culture changed. He took black music to a white station. Black man became empowered and started to seek their own salvation.
Yeah.
And as he was singing, a woman stood up in the audience and started to applaud. By the end of that song, the entire audience was standing with their hands
up in the air. Yeah.
And our show became Black Lives Matter 1956.
Wow, how about that? That's
and I didn't write it. They told me. The audience told me what the story was about.
That's so interesting. So you get a little taste of what Heartbreak Hotel is going to be about. The prequel to Million Dollar Quartet begins June 30th at the Broadway Playhouse adjacent to Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut in Chicago. It'll play there through September the 9th. You can get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com and all the usual places. What a pleasure to meet you. It's so cool. I really appreciate it.
Me too, brother.
Floyd Mutrick's the writer and director of the show, and we'll be telling you more about that in the days and weeks and months to come. Quick check of the news is next with the latest. Now here's Dave Schwann.
And we have partly sunny skies, 56 now at O'Hare. Police say 29-year-old Travis Reinking is the person of interest in connection with the killings at a Waffle House restaurant in Nashville early this morning. Four people were killed with an assault-type weapon, several other people injured. Police also say a pickup truck registered to him was left at the scene. Here is ABC's Ariel Reshef.
The suspected gunman first opening fire outside that restaurant, killing two people, then going inside and continuing firing. Several others were shot. In all, four people were killed. Police say a patron managed to wrestle that rifle away from the gunman, but the gunman took off running.
And police also say Reinking is originally from Morton, Illinois, near Peoria. Rudy Giuliani is joining President Trump's legal team amid the ongoing interference into Russian meddling. ABC's chief White House correspondent Jonathan Carl says the addition of Giuliani may mean that special counsel Robert Mueller will keep his job.
Giuliani is downplaying how central a role he'll play on the defense team, but at least for now, it makes it less likely that Mueller will be fired because Giuliani has been so public in saying that Mueller should be allowed to do his job.
In Chicago, police are looking for the suspects behind a North Side crime spree that started with an armed robbery, then a carjacking. Police spotted the car and gave chase. The suspects hit a pedestrian and several cars at Halsted, Lincoln, and Fullerton, where the pursuit ended. Here's Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson.
So in total, we had three vehicles taken. We have an idea or have some good leads on who the individuals are.
That pedestrian is in the hospital. Illinois is receiving $16 million in a federal grant money to fight opioid abuse. 2,000 people in Illinois died from abuse last year. It's the second year Illinois has received funding from the 21st Century Cures Act. Non-tenured faculty and graduate students in Illinois are looking to unions as pay and benefits are put on hold by the state budget problems. Among those institutions, Loyola University, U of I, Northwestern, Columbia College in Chicago, and the University of Chicago have seen an increase in union activity. And students at a suburban Chicago college are holding a 5K run today to raise money for scholarships for children of undocumented immigrants. They have been ineligible for federal financial aid. This is going on at Morton West High School in Berwyn. It's Morton College's annual Hope Scholarship 5K run and walk.
That's nice. Remember when college kids did things important like stuff themselves into phone booths and swallowed goldfish.
Yep. And stuff themselves into their first cars.
Yeah. Mom, what's a phone booth?
Yeah, that is a legitimate question these days, isn't it? What's a phone booth? I saw a picture of a typewriter the other day, and I don't know.
Mom,
I just,
what's a typewriter?
Yeah, I thought to myself, you know, a child would look at that and go, what is this? Is that a piece of paper?
Hang on, I just want to check something here. Producer of the show, Tom Hush, joining us on the program. Have you now or have you ever actually used a typewriter?
Not even close. I've always wanted to, but not even gotten near one.
How does that make you feel, Schwani?
What about a phone booth?
I was young enough to have seen a phone booth.
Seen one.
Yeah, I think they still have some on the like CTA platforms, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if they work.
They're kind of retro. You can go into them now. So if you're talking to somebody on your phone, on your phone, you can talk to them and not bother anybody else.
Well, Tom, Uncle Dean and I remember when the electric typewriter came out.
That was a big
deal. Wasn't that an advance? Oh. And you could just
type right along. When I was in college, when I went to college, and, you know, we had a family typewriter that, you know, we did too. That we all used. But when I went to college, I bought myself an electric typewriter.
Oh,
with autocorrect on it.
Oh, really?
You could like
you had the automatic
like
whiteout
backspace whiteout deal. And believe me, I made plenty of mistakes. I still do. Wow. Never used a typewriter.
I'm going to bring mine in to show Tom sometime.
Oh, boy.
You can try it. You can try it.
Let us know when that's going to be. Let us know a few days ahead of time.
Okay. All right.
So we can all take sick days.
Sports, traffic, and weather next.
I'm getting a cold. Schwani's bringing in his stuff from the old days.
I had a manual typewriter, too. Talk about a clunker.
I used to take the streetcar for a nickel.
Walked uphill from school to and from both ways.
That's right.
Sports, traffic, and weather
in
next.
In the snow.
In the snow, yes. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
It's been a rough run of late for the Chicago White Sox. Yesterday, they lose to the Astros 10-1 here at Guaranteed Rate Field. That makes it six straight losses. They also learned that reliever Danny Farquhar was in stable but critical condition following a brain hemorrhage suffered Friday night. Not much has gone right for Rick Renteria and his team.
Right now, honestly, we're just in a little bit of a rut. If you're not getting any pitching and we're not really doing a whole lot of hitting, we're not scoring a lot of runs. So it's kind of the perfect storm for any ball club. It's not going to give you an opportunity in many ways to win very many ball games. You know, as baseball is, if you do the things that you're supposed to, ultimately things flip a little bit.
Yeah, the Sox are certainly hoping for that here today, starting with a series finale against the Astros. Reynaldo Lopez will go for the Sox this afternoon, and I'll have the pregame for you at 12:35. Ed and DJ, the call at 1:10 here on WGN. Cubs got out to a quick start yesterday. They led the Rockies 2-0 heading into the fifth inning. That's when the Rockies scored five off of Yu Darvish to beat the Cubs 5-2. Same two teams this afternoon closing out their three-game series. Jose Quintana will go for the Cubs. NBA playoffs coming up shortly. Game four, the Boston-Milwaukee series. Celtics have a 2-1 lead there. Later, the Spurs host the Warriors. Golden State looking for the sweep of that series in today's game four. Wizards hosting the Raptors. Toronto leads 2-1. Same story for Indiana against Cleveland later on today. NHL playoffs about to get underway. It'll be Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Penguins can advance to the second round with a win today. Nashville in the same position in its series against Colorado. A Preds win tonight will eliminate Colorado. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, we are still looking at a problem on on Roosevelt Road, just east of Mannheim, an accident causing delays there. Also looking at a buildup of traffic on the Kennedy. It is now 25 minutes from O'Hare to downtown, 25 minutes from downtown out to O'Hare. Also some little bit of a delay on the Eisenhower inbound, 20 minutes from Wolf Road to downtown. And once again, that accident, Roosevelt Road, is at Kildare Avenue, east of Mannheim. And finally, one more accident to report. This just in from Woodridge, an accident at 83rd and Woodward Avenue.
Enough with the accidents today.
We have had our share of them. Yes, we have had our share. So do be careful. I guess it might, you know what, it might be the warmer
it's
weather.
It's the nicer weather.
Everybody's out.
Michigan Avenue is very busy today.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you I'm going to miss being here. I've seen some unusual things this morning.
Let's get a camera and include it there. We could call it the memorial to the Allstate Showcase Studio camera.
Well, that sounds sad.
Well, you know, it's there and it would be
in. So after we're gone, we keep a camera here just so we could be amused?
Yes. You say you're going to miss it. This is our way of keeping in touch with what's going on.
Well, I guess. Okay. I just saw a family, what appeared to be a mother, dad, and two daughters.
Yeah.
Loaded down with bags from the American Girl store.
Oh, from American Girls?
He must have spent $50,000.
You can easily do that. That's that store.
Just walking by. The little girls looked so excited. Dad was sort of green. His face turned green.
He wasn't smiling, but the kids were.
He spent quite a bit. There was a lot of stuff. Anywho,
for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Partly sunny this afternoon, high in the low 60s, a little cooler near the lake. Fair tonight, low in the low 40s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high once again in the 60s and cooler near the lake.
I'm going to miss these people who just stand in the middle of Michigan Avenue to take a nice picture.
Oh.
Up and down the Magnificent Mile. Cars streaming at them. Yeah. High velocities. Yeah. Standing right in the middle of the street taking a picture.
And then they have to take two or three just to make sure they get it everything.
Oh, they stand there. And, you know, through the years, the brides and grooms that come out in the summer.
Oh, sure.
Summertime, we get a lot of that.
Full
wedding parties that stand in the middle of the street.
Well, they'll be just a little bit south here around the Wrigley building there with that midlet. What do you call it? Median there. They'll stand there.
Well, now they stand there. But.
Yeah, I'm going to miss them. Memories. Well, you are really getting nostalgic about
like
this.
Like the corners of my mind.
Oh, man.
Misty
Andy,
watercolor.
Help me out, Andy.
I was about to have them put our audio on the big sound system here, but
and the way we were.
It is now partly sunny, 56 at O'Hare, 55 at Midway, and 51 along the lakefront. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom, sharing memories and ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
May I take a moment for a serious note?
Yes.
Are you there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know you thought it was just a rhetorical question, and it sort of was. I wanted to acknowledge the passing of somebody very important to our WGN family this week. The great Jim Carrillo, who was the director of engineering here on WGN since the 1980s. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes, he was chief engineer when I first came here in 86. Yes.
Yeah. He's the one that moved WGN Radio from 2501 West Bradley Place here to Tribune Tower and created this magnificent showcase studio that we've broadcast from, and this whole concept, and has done a couple of complete remodels of this very studio, which is no small matter, in addition to dealing with all the day-to-day electronic and technical change that has gone on during the past 30 years. JC, as we called him, was on top of it all. And, you know, think about how technology has evolved in the past 30 years. And Schwann, you know, especially in broadcasting.
Absolutely.
Where we used to, you know, if we would used to go out on a story, you know, it used to be in the old days, you would find a payphone someplace, screw off the mouthpiece
That's
of it.
Right.
Get a couple of little alligator clips.
Yep.
And clip them onto the telephone so you could send your stories back to the station. And then this fantastic new technology of cassettes came in, where you could take out a portable cassette player and, you know, send back your audio the same way. And how it just kept evolving and evolving to the point where the technical equipment that's now used is about the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Smaller,
really.
My digital recorder is smaller.
Yeah. But, you know, it was Jim Carrillo, JC, who guided the station through all of these technical changes, these innovations and digital changes that were going on. So I'm sad to report that JC passed away this past Wednesday after a very long battle with lung cancer, and he was very much beloved here at WGN. He became part of our WGN Radio Walk of Fame a couple of years ago.
Yes.
That was the last time that I saw him. It was the same year that my name also went on to that Walk of Fame. But I saw him, and, you know, he was salt of the earth kind of guy, stoic. If I were to do something like start to sing The Way We Were on the air, I remember him so many times just standing in the window in a control room someplace, just looking at me like I was the most insane person that had ever been put behind a WGN microphone, despite the fact that there were many far more crazy than me to sit behind a WGN microphone. But he was a good guy and a competent guy, and our condolences to his family and to his friends. He was really, you know, talk about the WGN family. He was a pillar of that WGN family for many years.
I might add, too, Dean, that he oversaw the move of the station from the first floor to the seventh floor here.
Right, yeah.
He was, in fact, I can, now that we're talking about JC, I remember the meeting that we had. He had it all organized, laid out down to the detail. He knew exactly where everything was going to do. And I also remember when we had Tribune Radio Networks here, he oversaw that too. He was chief engineer, and we had a couple of times when we had some scary things going on technologically, and he was, you know, Mr. Calm, and that stoicism that you talked about
right.
Worked very well
right.
in times of problems, because he would be able to focus on those problems.
Somebody had to keep their head during all that, and it frequently was not any of us sitting behind the microphones, but it was always JC and his staff behind the scenes that made things work. And, you know, it's not just day-to-day operations. I mean, think about, I can't think of too many radio stations, certainly in Chicago, that did as many away broadcasts as possible, as many sports broadcasts as possible, as many county fairs and state fairs and pumpkin fests and all the different broadcasts that we did outside of our Bradley Place or 435 North Michigan Avenue home. Somebody had to coordinate all of that technically and make it work, and that always fell to Jim Carrillo. Who, you know, somehow he and the staff, you know, the technical staff that he managed, managed to make it happen. So all that to say, I know that he's been battling lung cancer. I know it's been a very tough road for him for the past couple of years, and for his family and for his friends. So just wanted to share my condolences and my utter and complete respect for a pioneer in broadcasting in Chicago and certainly here at WGN. But I will never forget those looks when I did something, when I would do something on the air so stupid, as we do so well here on Sunday morning. He would just stand, he would be giggling behind the glass. He'd be standing there. Behind the glass with his hands on his waist.
Going.
On each side, just like kind of giggling, but also kind of
shaking his head. Going, what did he just say?
I got to get it. I could tell in his mind, he's going, I got to get the hell out of this place. So anyway, we're sorry to hear that. We have an anniversary also to talk about today. It's a kind of a cool anniversary, Shwani. One that you're going to love. The 80th anniversary of this.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers,
bend steel in his bare hands,
and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Superman.
The television series, not the anniversary of the television series, that was in the 1950s. I'm talking about
the comic book.
The anniversary of the introduction of Superman, first time, any place, anywhere. It was DC Comics, Action Comics, issue number one, 1938, that Superman was created. So it'll actually be May, so we're just a couple of days ahead of this. But at the anniversary of Superman, a copy of Action Comics number one, Shwani, sold at auction for $3.2 million.
I saw that. Yeah,
$3.2 million.
$2 million. So that's now in your collection, right?
Yes, I had a little spare change, so
you went for it.
I thought I would go. I did. I've said many times that I'm I was a Superman fan.
I was too.
Of I like Superman and Batman. I don't know why. I like the DC comic books better than the Marvel. The movies are different. I think the Marvel movie series are completely different. But, you know, it went... are there still Superman comics? I don't even know Tom, is that, do you know, are there still?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually picked up my, I picked up two copies of Action Comics number 1000, which was released this past Wednesday. Got myself one for reading and one to bag and board and hide away for a while.
Right. Is it like a retrospective kind of thing, or is there like a regular comic that tells an, you know, tells a story?
It's really cool. It's an 80-page one that has a few different stories by a few different writers, including Brian Michael Bendis, who's going to be taking over for Superman going forward, and he is well known for writing for Marvel, so he's making the jump over to write Superman. But it's just a few different stories that kind of explain to people who Superman is and all the stuff he's done over the last 80 years.
That's amazing. So Superman goes from the comic books and makes his transition to radio before television. We all remember the George Reeves version on television, which I was a huge fan of, 1952 to 1958. I saw it in reruns. I was too young to actually watch it then. But Schwani, do you know who played Superman? Actually, Schwani stepped away for a second, so we'll get back to this. But it's amazing who played Superman on radio, who was the first actor ever to play Superman himself. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about your favorite Superman incarnation in the movies, on television. I'm going to open up the phone lines and talk a little Superman with you here this morning at 312-981-7200. Coming up, we have my conversation one-on-one with Bill Murray, who is in Chicago this week with his brothers at the brand new restaurant, the Murray Brothers Caddy Shack, that's out at the Crown Plaza Hotel just off of River Road. We'll play that for you coming up in our next half hour, talk a little more Superman. And Schwani, the new anchorman on WGN-TV.
He starts tomorrow?
He starts tomorrow.
Yes.
The new lead anchorman who will join Micah Mater on the WGN News at 5, 6, 9, and 10 p.m. His name is Joe Donlan. Very, very nice man. Met him the other day. And he will step into the big shoes there on the big desk.
I think he's in from Portland, isn't he?
He is in, yeah. in from Portland. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Just to paint a visual picture, somebody we had him on, and somebody texted to us at the TV station that he looks like Clutch Cargo.
Okay, so Spinner and Paddlefoot will
have
to be
Skilling and Dan Rowan. Clearly, they can take their pick of who's going to be who. But
he starts tomorrow.
He starts tomorrow, but also you get a little preview tomorrow morning on Steve Cochran's show. He'll be on with Steve at 8:40 after the award-winning segment that I do with Steve Monday through Friday at 8:10.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll kind of set the table a little bit. And then Joe will.
You're the entree. You're the introduction.
I'm the appetizer.
You're the appetizer.
Yeah, I'm the amuse bouche.
The what?
You don't know? You don't know amuse bouche? Often when you go to a restaurant, even without asking, they bring you just like a little. It's like a pre-appetizer. It's like just like a little something that the chef has made. And they bring it out. Usually it's on a gigantic plate, and it's beautfully presented. And that's called the amuse-bouche.
The amuse-bouche.
Yeah, you don't get that?
I haven't had that.
Get that?
I have talked to the chef, the
with
affair.
You've never had an amuse-bouche with your sliders and onion rings?
About nachos?
Anywho, so I'll be on tomorrow morning on Steve's show, as I am Monday through Friday at 8:10. But the new guy, Joe Donlan, will be on with Steve tomorrow morning at 8:40 right here on WGN. Is it time for the news?
It is.
Oh, it's way time for the news. With the latest now, here's Dave Schwan.
Police in Nashville say the person of interest in a fatal shooting at a Waffle House restaurant early this morning, say he was originally from Morton, Illinois. He is a person of interest. Travis Ranking is his name. He is still at large and is suspected in the shooting deaths of four people at the Waffle House in the Antioch neighborhood of Nashville, Tennessee this morning. Several other people were injured. The theme of this year's Earth Day is End Plastic Pollution. Earth Day events are underway around the world.
The event began in 1970 in an effort to call attention to problems that harm the environment. And students at a suburban Chicago college holding a 5K run today, raising money for scholarships for children of undocumented immigrants who are ineligible for federal financial aid. It's being held at Morton West High School in Berwyn. It's as part of Morton College's annual Hope Scholarship 5K Run Walk. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, coming up here at Guaranteed Right Field, the White Sox are looking to snap a six-game losing skid and a sweep at the hands of the Astros. White Sox and Astros in the series finale coming up. I'll have the pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ will have your call at 1:10 here on WGN. The Sox will turn to Reynaldo Lopez. He'll be opposed by Lance McCullers Jr. in Game 3 today. Cubs and Rockies will play the rubber game with their three-game set in Denver this afternoon. Cubs scoring 16 runs in the opener. Held to just two yesterday, Jose Quintana will take the ball for the Cubs today in the Mile High City. NBA playoffs about to get started. Game 4 of Boston and Milwaukee. The Celtics have a 2-1 lead there. Spurs hosting the Warriors today. Golden State looking for the sweep in today's Game 4. Wizards hosting the Raptors. Toronto has a 2-1 lead. And Indiana also with a 2-1 lead on Cleveland as they get set for Game number 4. NHL playoffs today about to get underway. It'll be Philadelphia hosting Pittsburgh. Penguins looking to advance to the second round with a victory today. Nashville looking to do the same, a game against Colorado. Preds with a win tonight will eliminate the Avalanche. Again, baseball coming up at 12:35 here from Guaranteed Rate Field.
Wonder what time that pregame show would be.
It's 12:35 p.m. Central Daylight Time, which would be 11:35 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time.
9:35 Pacific Time.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure we, you know, we have that with all of our vast affiliate.
We have a
network,
worldwide, you know, audience.
Sure. What about Greenwich Mean Time?
Worldwide
now?
Audience.
Find that out.
Where do we have?
Never got into the Greenwich Mean Time. It was always just too mean.
Where do we have somebody calling from last week?
Zurich, Switzerland.
That's right.
Yeah.
Switzerland. Yeah.
What time would that be in Zurich, Mr. Smarty Pants?
It would be six.
Early.
It would be no. It would be would be 7:35 at night.
Okay.
Cool.
7:35 at night
for all of our
day baseball here, a little night baseball there.
Yeah, you got it.
Cool.
All of our affiliates listening on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Again, another joke that only two people understand.
You and me.
I got that
Andy,
one.
Andy
would get it.
I've been around for a while.
What's next?
Sign off here again if you want me to.
Please
do.
Sure. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, Chicago White Sox baseball, and Greenwich Mean Time, I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic. Traffic starting to build on the Kennedy. It is now about a half-hour trip from O'Hare to downtown, 25 minutes from downtown out to O'Hare. The accidents that we've been reporting on are now cleared. The one on Torrance Avenue at 8094 has been cleared, and the accident in Woodridge at 83rd. And Woodward Avenue is clear. Other than that, things moving at posted speeds on our expressways and tollways. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Partly sunny this afternoon, a high in the 60s, a little cooler near the lake, fair overnight, low in the low 40s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high in the 60s, once again a little cooler lakeside, as they say. Partly cloudy at O'Hare,
who's
now
that?
56.
Who's that?
Me. It's a little cooler lakeside.
As they say.
As they say, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. O'Hare 56, Midway 55, and 51.
Show is so stupid
at
today.
Chicago's lakefront. Think of a sportscaster.
This
named,
show is always stupid, but I'm going to say a little extra stupid today.
This is
like if you went into a KFC and said, I want it extra crispy. Today's show is extra stupid.
If you went into KFC and called them Kentucky Fried Chicken,
right?
They wouldn't know what that meant.
That's right.
Talking about the Mutual Broadcasting System,
oh brother!
I had a flashback to a sports reporter there for Mutual. His name was Al Wester.
Yeah,
you remember Al?
Nope.
He did a program, and he always signed on with, I'm Al Wester with Mutual Radio's Inside Sports. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour.
I like to make a correction. Extra, extra stupid.
With a side of stupid sauce.
I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps. One of the greatest movie themes of all time. How about it, Juani? What do you think?
Yeah, I can take it. John Williams.
Love this.
In his prime.
I saw the first Christopher Reeve Superman movie at Oak Brook Theater. It was a premiere. I hosted an advanced screening to Superman, 1978. I was at the station, Schwani, where we worked together, WFYR, Fire Radio, as it was called back in the day. Mm-hmm. And we hosted a pre-screening of this crazy remake of Superman. Is it going to be good? Is it not going to be good? And it turned, you know, it was phenomenal. It still is in my book. But the thing of it is, we had a blizzard that night.
Oh, really?
We had I don't know if it was the blizzard of 78, but it was certainly one of the major snowstorms that
night. There was one in January of 79. Could that have been it?
Maybe. Might have been.
Yeah.
All I remember is I'm out in Oak Brook, and there's like 100 feet of snow, because we had gone out there to see a Superman. But amazing. Boy, I would have a hard time. If somebody asked me, who is my favorite Superman, which is the question I'm putting to you, the listening audience, I would have a hard time picking. I like Christopher Reeve a lot.
Well, now are you going to include George Reeves?
Well, yes.
Everybody's favorite Superman, yeah.
Isn't he just sort of the quintessential?
Sure.
As great as Christopher Reeve was? Isn't George Reeves sort of like the Adam West to that role?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, who is the best Lois Lane? Noelle Neal? Margot Kidder?
I'm going to say Margot Kidder.
Terry Thatcher?
I'm going to say Margot Kidder.
Margot Kidder.
The others, you know, the TV ones were fine. They were good. A little bit, one-dimensional. Margot Kidder was the real deal. She had real emotions.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot.
And the best Perry White.
Great Caesar's Ghost.
Great Caesar's Ghost.
I don't know the name of the actor who played him on television.
John Hamilton.
He was my favorite.
John Hamilton.
You know me.
And don't call me Chief.
I love a grumpy old man on TV or the movies, which is why I'm such a big fan of William Frawley on I Love Lucy. Hey, Honey Bunch.
Hey, how Rick? How's tricks?
Oh, when he makes fun of Ethel for being fat, I'm on the floor laughing. After all these years, I shouldn't be. That's wrong. Do you know who the very first person was to play Superman?
The first person
to play Superman. I'm going to play a little of the man for you here.
Okay. No, you mean it.
Presenting Superman.
This is 1940. On radio.
Oh, on radio.
Look, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. And now, Superman, eighth wonder of the modern world.
Oh.
Visitor from a distant planet whose strength knows no limits, whose endurance is beyond anything humanity has ever known. We have seen how the child of Jor-El and Lara was placed in the rocket ship, set on his way to Earth.
Get a little history.
During the long journey of the rocket ship to the Earth, the child has become a man. The rocket landed in a desert. Superman stepped forth full grown to explore this strange new world in which he found himself. Today, as our story continues, we find him hovering with his curious power above a quiet highway in Indiana. A trolley car is just pulling up the hill, and as Superman wheels and turns in curious flight, unseen below, a man and a boy come out of the shed that serves as waiting room.
Morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Going into town?
Yes, that's right, John. Taking Jimmy to the fair.
It is a great show, all right. Well, I reckon you're my only passengers.
I imagine eventually we're going to hear Superman.
I'm going to get me a drink of water.
All right.
Why, Dad, we've got the trolley all to ourselves.
Yeah, regular private.
This is giving me an idea for a little skit that all the three of us could put on, though.
It's a mighty hot day.
You better hurry or we'll be late.
Yes, about the motorman.
But we are starting. What? Look, Dad. The doors have closed. We're moving.
Yes, what happened?
Dad, I want to get out.
The brakes. Something happened to the brakes.
Let's get out quick. Open the doors.
They're
jammed. They're tight shut.
Dad, we're going faster and faster. We're going downhill. Dad, what are we going to do?
Jimmy, come here.
The window. Out the window, Dad. Get it open. Smash it.
Wait.
Jump, Dad.
There's only one person who can help. Wait.
Going too fast.
We've got you, Dad. Look, there ahead.
If we could ever hear him, that would be great.
This is a job.
Look, there in the sky.
Oh, what?
It's a man.
Why, he's flying.
It can't be. It's not possible.
What?
He's coming straight at us. He's moving down. He's carrying on the rope. Dad.
Quick, grab hold of me.
No, put me down. Let me go.
Stop it.
One under each arm. Out through the top. Hold on. We're going to crash.
Wow. Special effects.
Well, we just got out of that in time. Trolley car's a wreck. Smashed into a million pieces.
Where are you going? What are you doing to us?
What's happening? Put us down.
Don't be frightened. You're all right. I had to get you out of there in a hurry. Pulling off that roof was the only way. Now we're going down again. Down. Down.
1940.
There you are.
Radio serial that starred as Superman. Any idea?
I don't know.
This voice from
Collier.
I promise you will know this. Did you know that or did you look it up?
I looked it up. Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
Bud Collier, best known from his days as a host of game shows.
To tell the truth.
He was.
With that bow tie he wore.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him on an early version. I watched that. I forget the name of the cable channel where they show the old black and white game shows.
Yeah, it's just game TV or something.
Something like that. But yeah. He did a version of Beat the Clock.
Did he really?
That was so hokey and just so early and raw. You know what I mean? It was nothing refined about it at all. But he was the quintessential host for that sort of thing, and he was the first Superman. How about that?
How about that? And did you also know that the Mutual Broadcasting System,
yes,
I'm not kidding,
yes,
was the first network distributor of that Superman program you played, which was awesome. I loved listening to that air check.
It is fun to listen to. So we had, we mentioned Bud Collier, George Reeves, of course, the TV Superman, Christopher Reeve, the quintessential movie Superman, Dean Cain. Remember Dean Cain from Lois and Clark, the TV series?
Oh, right. Yes.
That ran for 4 years.
Yes.
Tom Welling, who played Clark Kent / Superman on Smallville from 2001 to 2011. And Tom Welling, by the way, the only A-list actor that I've ever interviewed that kept me waiting for 12 hours to interview him.
12 hours?
We went to, I think it was Vancouver in Canada, where they shot Smallville. And we were supposed to interview Tom Welling, and we waited and waited and waited and waited 12 hours for like...
Was it really 12 hours?
4 minutes with Tom Welling.
What was the holdup?
He was being a jerk.
Okay.
He would have had to catch somebody.
Prima donna, I think, are the words that come to my mind.
Words that you can say on the air.
Brandon Routh. Remember Brandon Routh from Superman Returns 2006?
Yeah.
I didn't mind him. A lot of people really hated him. I didn't mind him as Superman. But I love the current Superman, Henry Cavill. Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Justice League. I like him. I think he does a good job with it as well.
Well, you have a number of people to choose from there as to who the favorite Superman was.
That's correct. 80 years ago, Superman was first introduced, and we remember him today. It's 11:50. When we come back from the break, it's in the hole. It's in the hole. Bill Murray was in Chicago this week, did a little press conference for the opening of the new restaurant that he and his brothers run out in the Rosemont area. We talk one-on-one with Bill. We'll share that next on WGN. The classic songs from one of the most classic comedies of all time that, as anyone could tell you, men and women alike love. The Bill Murray movie Caddyshack also starred Chevy Chase and, of course, the great Rodney Dangerfield, among many, many others. Truly a classic film.
The theme of that movie is the namesake of the new restaurant that's opened in the Rosemont area called Murray Brothers Caddyshack, run by Bill Murray and his brothers. It's at 9546 Balmoral Avenue, to be exact. It's adjacent to the Crown Plaza Hotel there, and it is just off of River Road. I didn't try the food when I was out there the other day, but it looked beautiful. I am going to definitely go back and give it a taste because it looked amazing. The Murray brothers put on a little press conference for the assembled press, but afterwards we were able to catch Bill one-on-one and talk about the movie, about the restaurant itself, and the concept of Murray Brothers Caddyshack.
It's the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant. It's a big day for my family. It's my little brother Joel's birthday today, so we're all getting to eat for free, and he's probably going to get a cake in just a couple.
That's really what this is about, isn't it? Free food for Bill Murray, right?
I'm doomed. You know, we fought for every scrap we could get at the dinner table when we were kids, so this is nice to have good-sized servings.
What's really cool is, like, it really sort of celebrates all the things that we relate to you best with. Caddyshack, among your many movies that we love. What does that still represent to you?
Well, pardon me. For us, it was really a breakthrough job for my brother Brian and myself. We really had the control of the reins. Harold Ramis was the director, and Harold was running the show, and he just let us go and, turned the camera on and said, let's be funny, let's amuse each other. And that's what happened. You know, a lot of that script written by those three guys, Brian and Harold and Doug Kenny, is fantastic. But then you had all these great actors that added more to it. And so it became a new way of making movies. You're out there with a great script to begin with, and then let them go, turn them on and let them go. We did that.
Are people constantly shouting Caddyshack lines at you?
Yeah.
What's the one that you hear most often? It's in the hole?
Do you, I don't know. Yeah, in the hole. You get in the hole all the time, and I don't know. I don't know where. That's the kind of stuff. I don't know. I look up at the wall.
They're all over the wall.
They're all over the
walls. It's only going to get worse. It's all over the walls here.
I don't know. Yeah. I like it when they say someone else's line, like, pick up that blood. That's Brian's line. Hey, pick up that blood.
In the little press conference you had before a little while ago, I asked you about your favorite Cubs moment, because you're so defined with every pivotal Cubs moment. And you said that it was the first night game, 8-8-88. I thought it would have been the World Series or something.
There's another one. The first night game was great because it was like getting the rug pulled out on you, all the excitement about it, and then it just gets rained out. It was just sort of that was sort of a classic Chicago story. I like that one. But my real classic one was I did go to the Cleveland for the last game of the World Series, and we won game six, as I knew we would after we won game five. The phone rang at about 7:50 in the morning. It's Mr. Murray, are you gonna keep your room for another night? And I said, well, yeah, I think so. Why wouldn't I? We just won. He said, because there's a room rate change, and they sort of doubled or tripled the rate overnight. And I said, well, I haven't had my coffee yet. Let me just go downstairs and see what I think about that. Because it wasn't, I don't know. It just felt kind of funny that someone says, because you won, you're going to have to pay more.
Yeah.
So I went downstairs, had coffee, and I came back to my room, and I put the key in the door, and I looked, and my room number was 2016.
Wow. Meant to be.
Yeah. So I was like, I thought that was a pretty shabby way of them to bilk me out of another $700.
Yeah. He's a big movie star.
I can afford it, but I wasn't going to jinx
it. It's just not right. Yeah, it's not right.
So it turned out to be great.
Thursday night, Chicago Theater, playing this iconic room with this really cool, kind of eclectic show that you do. How do you describe it? I mean, it sounds like one of the coolest evenings there can be.
It's very difficult to describe. No one sees it coming. It looks like it's one thing, and it's not. The players are so talented. Each one is a soloist that plays with symphonies all over the world. So it's like a super group of players. And the material we're doing is like the greatest American material in music and literature, and it's fun. We're having a lot of fun doing it. Everywhere we go,
We've been out for a while now, and it's every night we just go out and amaze people that you can put together this kind of a show, and it can be so entertaining and so uplifting.
You think that's classy, as Bill pointed out a little while ago. Here at Murray Brothers Caddy Shack, there are paper straws here.
I'm very
old-school
happy about
paper
it.
Straws, yeah, which yeah. is your highlight, it seems.
Well, that's the happiest I've been about anything, although the bacon is very good, too. But paper straws are back, and they're back for good. And I always loved paper straws, and plastic straws got out of control, and they're really... There's nothing you can do with a paper straw, but it end up in the ocean. So paper straws feel good, too. You can chew on them. They're great, you know. They're really
good and good for you.
Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Oh,
yeah, he was all obsessed right. with these paper straws that they use at Murray Brothers Caddyshack out in Rosemont during the press conference that... he and his brothers held before this one-on-one interview. I do want to play one bit of the press conference, though, where I asked him about his favorite Cubs moment, because he is so quintessentially visible at anything huge that has happened with the Cubs, and his answer was so surprising to me. We'll have that coming up after the news. Coming up in the next half hour, we have a little mini version of our food show this week because of White Sox baseball that's starting early, but I did want to go over some of the details of this romaine lettuce scare, Schwani, that you were talking about earlier.
Yes, and we have a story in the newscast here coming up.
All right,
up
well, we're going to get into that all coming up in the next half hour. Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you are using your smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Here's Dave Schwan.
And we have partly cloudy skies, 58 at O'Hare. Nashville, Tennessee police continue to search for 29-year-old Travis Ranking, a person of interest in the shootings at a Waffle House restaurant that left four people dead this morning, numerous others injured. ABC's Mara Sirianni reports from the scene that a truck registered in his name was left there.
People in this area of the Waffle House here along Murfreesboro Pike are just told basically at this point to avoid the area, lock your doors, stay inside at this point. If you see this person of interest, of course, call police immediately. They are overhead. They are out on the roadways searching for him still.
Ranking is originally from Morton, Illinois, near Peoria. Officials in Afghanistan now say the death toll from a suicide bombing in Kabul, claimed by the Islamic State group, is up to 57 and 119 wounded. We've been watching this toll climb all morning. This confirmed by the government today. The bomber targeted a voter registration center in Kabul. ISIS has claimed that attack. Illinois is receiving a $16 million federal grant to fight opioid abuse. The drug abuse claimed 2,000 people in Illinois last year. This is the second year Illinois has received funding from the 21st Century Cures Act. Check the romaine lettuce in your refrigerator. The Department of Public Health now says it's not just chopped romaine, but full heads and hearts of romaine grown in Yuma, Arizona. These should be avoided after an E. coli outbreak. More from Public Health spokesperson Melanie Arnold.
It does not include all romaine lettuce. However, if you do not know where the romaine lettuce comes from, whether it's in your grocery store or in a restaurant, do not buy it and do not eat it.
No deaths have been reported, but 53 cases have been reported in 16 states, including Illinois.
I had a nice salad last night. Normally, I love a romaine lettuce.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Because it's nice and crunchy.
Right.
It's tasty.
Right.
But there's no way I'm eating romaine.
Not right now. And you know, this is the second incident we've had in a few months
right.
now where romaine lettuce has been affected by this. And I happened to notice yesterday when I was in the store, which has a salad bar, they had lettuce, but it was iceberg lettuce, no romaine.
Yeah. It's hard to tell sometimes, too. You know, the origin, sometimes if it's in a plastic bag.
Oh, you don't know where it's from.
It might say sometimes the wire wrapping thing, you know, that holds it together.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in a plastic bag, might have origin information on it. But I'm not taking any chances.
Yeah, until we get the all clear yet again.
I enjoyed a nice iceberg lettuce salad last night with some fresh spinach in it.
Fresh spinach in the iceberg? Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, trying to make it, you know, because iceberg lettuce, not all that, there's not a lot of nutrients in iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put a little, maybe put a little arugula
mm-hmm. in it. It's a little tastier, mm-hmm. some spinach.
Yep. Yep.
Notches up the nutrition value a little bit.
Nothing like an iceberg lettuce wedge.
Mm. Blue
with
cheese dressing?
Bacon blue cheese on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's some good eating.
Ah, those were the days. One more story here for you. It's about free Wi-Fi, but maybe not quite totally free. More from WGN's Roger Badish.
It's almost free Wi-Fi at O'Hare on Midway. There used to be a 30-minute limit on free usage, but now it's unlimited. Every 45 minutes, you'll see ads before you can use the service again. The city is partnering with an existing Wi-Fi provider, which also offers a fee-based usage without ads. Roger Badish, WGN News.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
In about an hour, the White Sox will try to avoid the sweep at the hands of the defending champion Astros. Sox have lost six straight games, and the pitching staff has allowed 10 or more runs to opponents in each of the last four games. That ties a franchise record. Sox turn to Ronaldo Lopez for the finale today. I'll have your pregame at 12:35. Ed and DJ, the call at 1:10 here on WGN. Cubs and Rockies will play the rubber game of their three-game series in Denver this afternoon. Cubs scoring 16 runs in the series opener, but were held to just two yesterday. Jose Quintana will take the ball for the Cubs today in the Mile High City. NBA playoffs just underway. It's game four of the Boston-Milwaukee series. Celtics lead that 2-1. Later on, it's the Spurs hosting the Warriors. Golden State looking for the sweep of the series in today's game four. Wizards hosting the Toronto Raptors. Toronto leading that series 2-1. And tonight, it's Indiana hosting Cleveland. Pacers in front 2-1 in that series. NHL playoffs today about to get underway. Pittsburgh's at Philadelphia. Penguins trying to advance to the second round with a win over the Flyers today. Nashville in the same position in its series against Colorado. Preds win tonight will eliminate the Avalanche. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic on the Kennedy inbound from O'Hare to downtown, a 32-minute trip. From the junction to O'Hare is 15 minutes. And from Wolf Road to downtown on the Eisenhower, a 25-minute trip. We do not have any accidents on the map to report at this time. Things
what?
Moving. Yeah, no accidents for a change, which is good news to report. Yeah. Things moving at posted speeds otherwise on our expressways and tollways. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Partly sunny this afternoon, high in the low 60s, cooler near the lake. Fair overnight tonight. Low in the 40s, and sunny tomorrow, high in the 60s, once again a little cooler near the lake. 58 now at O'Hare, 55 at Midway, and 59 at Chicago's lakefront. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation when a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's a beautiful day.
Absolutely beautiful. An early checkout today. We're getting ready for Chicago White Sox pregame. Andy Mazur live from Guaranteed Rate Field. It's the Sox get ready to take on the Astros today. Yeah, so this romaine lettuce thing, Schwanee, is very scary. It's going to be part
of... anytime you have an E. coli outbreak, yes,
not good.
Is.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely not good. We're going to make this kind of like our mini food time segment for today. Sponsored by Greek Islands Restaurant, because, you know, Schwanee gave all the information about this romaine lettuce that's come out of Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma, Arizona. And it's not just the chopped romaine that you might buy in a bag, but we're talking about the full heads of lettuce
right.
that you would get fresh in the store, the heads and hearts of the romaine.
Now, it says that it's all, the only romaine that they're concerned with are the ones that came from Yuma, Arizona. So you definitely should make sure... You know, that is the source of your romaine if you're still buying it. I think I'm going to lay off the romaine for a little while,
unfortunately, because as you said, you like it. And
it's
I do
delicious.
Too. I love my. I
Who
love
doesn't
romaine.
Love a nice Caesar salad with romaine?
Right. Chop that up.
With romaine leaves in it. But
yep.
53 people have been infected with E. coli, a strain of E. coli. 31 people hospitalized in 16 different states. This is nothing to take lightly. So, you know, everybody needs to be very careful with that. Did you know that there's also an egg concern right now as well?
I'd heard that, yes. I don't have any statistics on that in front of me.
I do.
But if you do.
The FDA announced that egg distributor Rose Acre Farms of Seymour, Indiana, voluntarily recalled eggs. which came from the Pantego, North Carolina farm, and were distributed to many outlets, including Food Lion and Walmart grocery stores. They say that the eggs were delivered to stores and restaurants in Colorado, Florida, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia, not Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, not in our area, but still, you know, beware of all of these things. And if you develop any signs of E. coli, have you ever had anything like that?
Nothing like that, no. I've talked to people that have had problems with that and food poisoning. You don't want to go there.
I wasn't going to mention it because it's lunch hour and all that, but you have to be aware of these things. If you're getting like exceptionally bad stomach cramps, if you're throwing up, and pardon me, if you're having lunch, diarrhea, you may have E. coli, and you need to get a hold of your doctor as soon as possible. And, you know, those kinds of things can last up to a week. Can you imagine that?
Ugh. Well, that's where you seriously run into problems, because you lose electrolytes, you lose the very thing that keeps you going.
Right, and defends you against...
Yeah, your body can't process it.
Yeah, I get it.
Dehydration.
You get a stomach ache, you don't want to be running to your doctor for little minor things, but... if you think that you may have gotten some bad romaine or eggs or, whatever, and you have some of these other symptoms, probably not a terrible idea to just, give a call or throw an email into your doctor or something and say, hey, don't mean to spoil your lunch, but might be something going on.
Beware of this.
Dr. Kevin Most is going to be on with Steve Cochran tomorrow morning, by the way. He's going to be on at 6:40 tomorrow morning, and I would be shocked if they did not talk about E. coli, these kinds of threats. I'm sure it's going to come up in the conversation. They're talking about a lot of things, new treatments in cancer, COPD, the Cuban vaccine. Steve Cochran show tomorrow morning at 6:40. By the way, Steve also giving away a four-pack of White Sox tickets tomorrow morning between 8:30 and 9 o'clock as well. But be aware of this. So this is what Uncle Dean did, for a nice salad. Took some nice iceberg lettuce. It's nice and cold, nice and crispy. And I supplemented a little bit because, iceberg lettuce it's not the most nutrition-filled of the lettuces. But it's, great, if you want a nice crispy salad, you can't go wrong with some iceberg lettuce. But I put in just some spinach. I just happen to have some raw spinach in, so I put that in. But, you could make a little mixture, put a little arugula in it. Delicious, gives it that kind of little slightly peppery taste. I know a lot of people hate kale. I happen to love it. I think that would be really good in the salad. Some butterhead lettuce, which is not as crispy, but very tasty and extremely nutritious. Also, by the way, those are some of the things I see raw Swiss chard out on the shelves in stores now. That would be great to chop up and, throw a little of that in, or some radicchio, the purpley kind of lettuce.
How about some fresh basil?
Basil would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, fresh basil would be delicious. But again, those are things which are not super crunchy. That's why I'm saying make the iceberg lettuce kind of your base, and then add to it some of these other ones for a little, extra blast of nutrition on top of it. That would be great, right?
Absolutely.
Then you smother the whole thing in Thousand Island dressing and completely blow the idea that you're eating something healthy. I had salad. Yeah, with Thousand Island dressing, bacon, cheese, and everything else.
I'll
see you,
bits.
See you at the cardiac ward. you know what? A little olive oil, a little lemon, maybe a tiny bit of honey mustard. That's a low-calorie salad dressing there, my friends, and it's very super, super tasty. You got that from Uncle Dean on our little mini version of the food show today, sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurants. Enjoy the warm Mediterranean ambiance of authentic Greek dining at the award-winning Greek Islands Restaurant with extra virgin olive oil, with seafood and wines, herbs and spices, all imported directly from Greece. They provide delicious and healthy meals for you. Favorites include whole Mediterranean sea bass, baked chicken rigonati, homemade gyros, maybe a nice cup of the egg lemon soup or one of their vegetarian homemade soups. Chickpea, navy bean is a favorite of mine, lentil. Private party rooms available as well. The Greek Islands has been Chicago's first choice for great food and reasonable prices, and is the perfect place to meet before a business lunch or a family dinner, to stop in before a game or show. Visit the Greek Islands in Greektown, 200 South Halstead and Adams, or in Lombard, 300 East 22nd Street. Free parking available. The Greek Islands, America's most popular Greek restaurant. We played our one-on-one interview with Bill Murray in the last half hour. And I wanted to show Bill and his brothers held a little press conference out at their new restaurant, Murray Brothers Caddy Shack, just off of River Road out in Rosemont. It's adjacent to the Crown Plaza Hotel there. And before the one-on-one interview, they did sort of like a little informal press conference where they took questions from different people. And one of the things that I asked Bill was about his beloved Chicago Cubs.
For me,
any special moment that there has been for the Chicago Cubs, you see Bill Murray on television. He's always there for, you know, the big games. You saw him at the World Series. You saw him through the playoffs, etc. So I was wondering for him personally, what was the biggest moment that he ever had as a Cubs fan? And I was really surprised by his answer.
For me, the most iconic moment was 8-8-88, when I was sort of able, you know, and imagine like a kid that's a caddy being able to get his hands on 25 tickets for the game, okay? They were the worst tickets in Wrigley Field, too. They were in the right field upper deck, you know, and I'm telling my mom, we're going to the game, Mom. Well, she was almost exhausted and had a heart attack by the time we got to the seats. And then the rain began. And the rain was, if you remember, it was coming out of the north, and it was coming right into our faces. And it was just really, you know, the first pitch was practically, first batter hits a home run off Sutcliffe. And then it just got worse. And then the rain came. And then I saw, like, what looked like television PAs. You know what they look like. Kind of looking through the crowd up in the upper, they're up in the upper deck. I said, oh, Mom, I think they're coming for me. You know, it was like, Bill, would you mind helping Harry fill the next hour and 45 minutes of rain delay? And Harry needed a little help because Harry was very excited about the game. He was already very excited. So I was there for a very long time with Harry. But that was that kind of, because it was just ridiculous that, you know, here we are. It's just a, it's kind of like a good Chicago joke. I liked it.
Yeah, it was memorable, and Bill spent all that time up in the press box with Harry, truly some of the most classic moments in Cubs broadcasting history. It's you know, interesting that we just had the 70th anniversary of the very first Cubs broadcast on WGN-TV recently as well. Bill was out there at the restaurant that is named for his classic movie Caddyshack, and we also talked with Bill about why people still, after all these years, remember this movie so fondly.
I guess I'm a little surprised, but it really had some of the greatest funny people of that time in the movie. I mean, Ted Knight was really stupid, funny guy. You know, Harold Ramis was directing it. Doug Kenny, one of the greatest comic minds ever, wrote it with Brian and Harold. And you know, Rodney Dangerfield, really?
Was that Rodney's first movie?
Yeah, it was Rodney Dangerfield's first movie. One of the most dangerous people you've ever come across. You think you want to party. Careful. Careful. That guy was really fun. And Chevy, I mean, everyone was funny in the movie. Everyone was funny in the movie. And we just kept lighting it up. It was, and there was a freedom that we had because we all thought we were pretty good. So we were loose. So we got to improvise a lot, and it took, you know, we just kept coming up with, I only had one scene to begin with, and they call back and say, you want to come back down and do something else? And, yeah, all right. In Florida, I mean, if you're from Chicago, and you're in Florida in the winter, there's no rush. We're not in any hurry here.
Bill Murray out at the new restaurant that's just off of River Road in Rosemont, Murray Brothers Caddy Shack.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us today. We're off early to make room for Andy Mazur and White Sox pregame that'll begin in just a couple of moments, and then Sox taking on the Astros today. I'll see you tomorrow morning on Steve Cochran's show, as I do Monday through Friday at right around 8:10 every morning. We have some fun talking about entertainment, but also tomorrow morning, Steve is talking with Joe Donlan, the new anchor on WGN-TV, who will join Micah Mater. Joe joins Steve at 8:40 tomorrow morning. Kevin Most is on with Steve tomorrow. He's got free White Sox tickets. Lots of stuff going on tomorrow morning on Steve Cochran's show. And then, of course, on the WGN-TV Morning News, start playing back my one-on-one conversations with the cast of Avengers Infinity Wars. Get you ready for that. We're going to have that all week long on the WGN-TV Morning News.